you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
All right. How are you, Paris?
Cut the jibba jabba.
Nope. How are you, Paris? Paris Hilton?
Let me. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
Perry. Pixie.
Whatnot.
No.
Everybody can suck it.
There you go. Hi. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to see our friend Frank Caliendo.
Ooh.
At the Borgata.
Cool.
That's a casino hotel in Atlantic City on June 22nd. Everybody that wins gets tickets for the show, hotel, and dinner for two.
Nice.
For info, go to Borgata.
It's a nice joint.
.com.
You and I have been there.
Been there.
And now, let's all recreate last night.
What I had Lord Trump for the day. Oh,
something wrong with my TV?
Oh, man, did the cable go out now?
Because at that point, it changed the channel to Showtime or whatever it was and saw that the Tudors was on and went back in time.
Tudors.
Went back to HBO in time to see it was still a blank screen.
Yes. And then, of course, the credit.
Yeah.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
All right. We'll discuss it all in a moment. He's super.
Radio 77 WABC.
We're talking about the FCC. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks. Larry here in New York City. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, John. I have to say, number one, as soon as I hear the phrase the FCC recommends, I immediately cringe because I know they're trying to change the behavior of an entire society, as has been evidenced over the last number of years. Now, and I think they come up with something like this. Now, exactly what do they want to do now?
What they want now is to get some sort of control over the violence. They have come to the conclusion that there's too much violence and sexual activity for that children can watch.
There's the word. There's the key word you used, which is control. They want to control what we watch, what we think about what we watch, and whether or not any of us could survive in the same room where Michael Merritt drops a big BM.
Well, Larry, you know what? We have this guy a lot of times on here. He comes by the name of Larry. He comes by the name of last week he was on. Jamie, last week he was on, too. What was his name last week?
Douchebag.
Same guy.
Probably Larry.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Larry. It was somebody else. Can you imagine? I know it was beeped out, so you didn't hear what went on, right, Frank? I mean, nobody heard that. He's got his fingers crossed. Can you imagine that there are individuals that sit at home and listen to the radio and then pick up the telephone and take all the effort it takes to dial and then do childish acts like that?
Yep.
Don't stop
all the effort. 1-877-365-3636.
A new one from the Belcher. Always right next door, as close as your radio. John Gambling at 77 WABC. Dan in the Bronx, you're with John. Go ahead.
Good morning, John. I'm very upset to hear so many mothers call in saying the government should step in. They're handing over their own parental rights, and I hear them demanding it. And it's very upsetting to me. I have 5 children. One of them's name is Don Geronimo, and he hosts a radio show where he talks on the radio.
Absolutely. Now, come on. You got to be kidding me. How do we protect against this loony tune? How do you do it, Jill? I mean, you've been... What?
Speaking of government
control. Yeah, government control. You know what we should do? That's exactly what we should... Now, again, those of you on the radio did not hear what this guy did. He belched.
Change his voice on me again.
Well, of course. I mean, this is a lunatic. This is a person that should be in a hospital.
He's actually calling from a mental place.
Well, a mental place.
I don't think he is. No, I think he's calling from his house. I think he's just mental. What we should do, and if you are still listening, Dan in the Bronx or Larry in whatever, wherever you were, and Frank from
Detroit, says he's got a set of squad car.
We actually have caller ID. We actually know where you're calling from.
That's right. This happened before, and we sent it to the authorities.
Exactly. We have caller ID, and if we want to,
we're sending the police out to you.
We can trace this back. Now, you know, I've got a couple of contacts at the police department that we could actually, you know, have a visit.
Call Chief Wiggum.
So next time, Jamie, next time Dan calls, jot down the number that's flashing on the caller ID, and we'll see if we can...
we were told to give them one warning. This is the warning.
This is it.
All right, I'll do that next time.
Okay, very good. I'm stunned.
Scared.
Every time I hear people do this, whether it's this radio program or others, I'm thinking to myself, how could you be so vacuous? How could you be so, your life be so empty that this is what you find entertaining? That this is what you do to entertain yourself.
Thanks, Greg.
Oh, we do. I want to head north jump for the day.
What the? What the? What the?
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Well, hi, everybody. Just a small town girl.
You know. You're making me sick.
Elvis had a lot of physical problems.
Didn't want to hear about Elvis. I wanted to hear a fool's head. Excuse me. Oh, great. Here you go. Great.
Three seconds out of a one-hour show.
3 seconds of pleasure.
What are you, a wise ass?
Yeah. How you doing, Troy?
What do you do with an elderly woman?
If it's human waste, save some for me.
What? Stop that. It's silly. Very silly indeed.
Hello! La la la.
Stinky McStinkface.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Is that right, Barris?
Everybody can suck it.
No one.
All right.
Glorious goo.
Oh, a glorious goo. What do you expect, anyway?
Who, Mr. Bond? I expect you to die.
What, are you insane?
Are you insane?
Big, big, big. Bigger than big. Bigger big, than big, 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 big. Bang, 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 bang.
Bang, bang, bang. Right.
What about the vagina?
What about it?
Oh, no.
There's big ass.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
welcome back
to the show.
Welcome.
Welcome. Donna Mike Show, and it's a new episode of the Stinking Monday. And our phone number is 877-365-3636.
You were even kinder than David Chase. You let it fade out.
Maybe you heard the number a moment ago. You know, we're going to have, what's his name? Joe's buddy from Journey on today. Well, what's that guy's name, Mike?
Ross Valerie.
Yes, he's a big fan of the show. Talking about Journey being featured last night in The Sopranos. Oh, yeah. Seriously now.
No more goofing on the radio. Yeah.
No more goofing around.
Okay.
I was going to tell you something. This weekend, I was with my girlfriend, and she said she was in Philly. Well, my girlfriend, Jan. And I said, just for snicks, go get a pregnancy test. She went and got a pregnancy test.
Man, oh, man, that's incredible news. I can't believe a...
Directed by Michael Hughes.
It's amazing. That is truly, truly amazing.
You want to try it?
Sure.
Go ahead.
It's kind of a copycat,
it works better with you.
So, I had a fantastic weekend. It was just Carl and myself, and something that I've been planning for quite some time. Carl and I had dinner, a late dinner last night, right before we were going to watch The Sopranos. Yeah. Just in the house, and I had a little package that I decided that I would hand to her. And right before The Sopranos, about a half an hour before The Sopranos came out, I said, Carla...
Directed by Joe Ardinger.
That's exactly how I felt.
Devastating.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so anyway, I was on the phone today with Michael Hughes, our de facto general manager, and he was telling me that he wasn't really on vacation last week, that he's very ill, and he had to go get treatment for...
Directed by Mel Karmazin. You know... I have to wait for the music again.
Uh-huh.
Oh, hold on, it ran out.
Did it run out?
It ran out.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
You know, it was a party weekend, but unfortunately a little bit too much of a party weekend for me. I ended up just having a little rendezvous with a guy, not in my bar, but at another bar.
Yeah.
They called the police, and yours truly spent the weekend...
Directed by Mary O'Mara. Jamas.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Rip off.
Yep.
They can suck it.
Yeah. Rip off.
They
not nearly as mad as I was. Not as mad as I was last night.
No, you were irate last night. I was wondering who the first would be to call.
I couldn't get through to you. It was like calling a hotline. It was like calling, and it was pissing me off more. About the third time I called, I was getting pissed off. I said, get off the phone, fathead.
Oh, come on, call me fat ass.
No, I was talking about you. I knew you were talking to. It was anybody from the show. It should have been anybody of the show, but I was like, get off the phone. I need to vent.
You know,
Carla was like rolling her eyes at me because I was sitting there going, I'm talking to her and saying, this is really not good. Redial. This is really sucking.
Right. You know how they say to write down your first thoughts after a dream?
Yes.
I wrote this on this little piece of paper last night.
After the show.
Right after The Sopranos.
Good.
I was so mad.
Well, you're right.
F you, David Chase.
Uh-huh.
That ending blew. I changed my TV channels after 5 seconds. Ha ha. Is that your joke? Thanks for the Godfather teases. Thanks for AJ going from killing himself in a pool to being a movie executive with a BMW.
Ooh.
Thanks for that stupid cat. Thanks for no payoff with Uncle June. Thanks for only making 45 seconds of the show worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. It was really... I mean, there's one thing...
P.S.
He was paying the audience back. I read on the Daily News today that he was mad.
Huh, well, he acted
P.S., bad. You got me.
Yeah.
You really got me.
I read one thing, though, that suddenly hit me like a bolt of lightning.
Is that like a moron going, oh, my God, I've lost picture at the worst possible time?
You and the rest of the country.
Yes.
You and the rest of the country felt the same way. Here's what it sets up. Now, Sopranos isn't coming back, but you know what?
What?
As soon as I heard a Sopranos movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah.
It absolutely could set the table for a Sopranos movie.
That's a theory.
No problem at all. Now, he said he won't do the TV show anymore, but who's to say? And they're all hungry to keep working.
I cannot imagine that I would go. I mean, a lot of them are dead.
Yeah.
What's it going to be, him and Paulie?
Paulie, Silk can recover.
AJ.
Quite nicely. You got AJ.
My God. It turned the last season turned into the AJ Sopranos show.
Yep, it did. He just loved AJ. He loved the young boy.
Yuck. And please... David Chase, my goodness, please spare me, you know, because I don't want to just say F. Spare me the junior psychology of having to see AJ with his therapist
who crosses her legs just like Melfi does.
I thought that the therapist was Trey Doable, though.
And please, the significance of Tony saying that he has issues with his mother.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, thanks for breaking that light bulb over my head. I wouldn't have seen that one coming a mile away.
Well, complimented, of course, with the dirty looks from Carmella.
Yes.
You know, saying, here he goes again.
Right.
Here he goes again. Well, it's
yuck.
All about him.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Amen. And it doesn't give you, it doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't tie anything up.
Nope.
It doesn't make any statement.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, one guy got whacked, but see, he wasn't a real ballsy guy. He didn't go all the way. You want to go all the way with it? Nobody gets hurt. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
You want to really go, but no. Phil got whacked, the guy we talked to on Friday. Right. Frank Vincent, the drummer, he got whacked,
mm-hmm.
You know, but that's it.
There's the highlight.
Phil. Yeah. See you.
Philly.
All those Sunday nights.
All of them.
Those Sunday nights that I could have spent watching something else.
Ripped off. Time wasted.
Well, screw it. And screw the horse that they rode to town on.
Yeah. I say my girlfriend had one very interesting thing to say about The Sopranos when I watched the end of that show. And I said, they ripped us off. And she said, they've been ripping you off all year.
Yeah, and that's true.
And it's absolutely true.
That's
true. They've been doing it all, at least this season, and maybe in a couple of seasons
mm-hmm.
previously.
You know, don't get me wrong. I would most likely complain if it was a super deluxe happy ending. Or if they had just come in,
I would too.
If they had just come in at the very end and
happy
done like a mass Godfather style killing with everybody being wiped out, I really thought that it would be somewhere in between.
You're cracking me up though, because as soon as you said that, I just started laughing because I'm writing it right now. The super deluxe happy ending, you know, where Tony comes over, embraces Phil. They have a barbecue together. AJ straightens his life out completely. You know,
or, you know, something jive like Tony goes to witness protection.
Why don't you make it like, you know, you totally depart and you have a black and white Beaver Cleaver episode. And all of a sudden, even that might have given
with
me a little
laughter.
Pleasure.
Yes.
With canned laughter. Morning, Dad.
Morning, AJ. I would like to think that either way, that I would have at least been happier. I think most people would have been happier with a resolution. One way or the other. Yuck.
Yuck.
Yuck. P.U., that stinks like a bad diaper.
Here's the deal. I don't need David Chase to tell me the TV, you know, that it's just a TV show. I really don't need that. And I read that a couple of places, too, from the smart-ass reviewers who think that they're totally plugged in with what they... And they're just as bad as he is,
Tom
as far
Shales
as I'm concerned.
Tom Shales lives in his bung,
well,
for God's sake.
A lot of these guys felt, you know, he was trying to show us that it's just a TV show. Look, if you live and you make your nut on TV,
right,
and, you know, it's important to you, to your bank account,
uh-huh,
you can give the people what they want.
And
the first rule of show business.
Hey, right. I saw those quotes, and I also saw in recent weeks quotes where David Chase totally did a flip-flop by saying, I don't do TV, I do movies.
Yeah.
Each of these episodes that I offer up are movies.
Well, that movie that we saw last night was a suck movie.
To you.
Not going anywhere. You don't end any movies. You don't end movies like he did.
No.
You couldn't do that in any other form. I don't think you could do that in regular network television.
Like you ran
he got away with it because we. You know what? He got away with it because it was HBO.
Yeah.
Nobody had their hands in it. Nobody messed with it. You saw an example of what's great and what's bad about HBO. I like the fact that HBO lets people go completely in that. And the show afterwards, I thought was incredible. I thought it was fantastic.
Do you believe the rumor now that was reported last week that the one that he turned in as the last episode with Tony just sitting there with a gun on his chest?
Yes.
That HBO went to him and said, do one more, and maybe that was even a response to HBO to, like,
yes,
you know.
Don't you guess that this guy, David Chase, has complete autonomy, that he can do whatever he wants?
Yes.
And I don't doubt for a second they maybe strong-armed him and said, give us one more, and that's all. Yes.
Just kiss me.
Do whatever you want.
Just kiss me, because I'm a romantic. When I'm being F,
right,
I like to be kissed. Give me a nice soul
kiss. I'm getting mad all over again.
Yeah. Because,
you know, they made such a big deal about it. It was such a national story,
mm-hmm,
about the, you know, because there's so little on television right now.
We talked last week about how mad we would have been if they had ended it with the episode 1 week ago.
Right.
I think I would have preferred that ending than what we got.
In a heartbeat.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
I mean, it was a much more preferable episode. I mean,
yeah,
he, and you just tweak it a little bit more with him sitting there alone with a gun on his,
right,
chest. That's the way you picture him, you know, in a
yuck.
And, you know, yeah, they know you think that he's surrounded by
people that are trying to kill him. I wanted the guy to come out from the bathroom with like a bazooka.
I know.
I wanted the whole family gone. No, I didn't want the whole family gone. I wanted us to see Meadow covered in brains, on her knees, with onion rings and brains all over her chest, her beautiful chest.
Yes.
Just sobbing and going, oh, look what they've done to my family. Because Meadow was the only one who had any redeeming qualities whatsoever.
True.
Meadow, except the fact that she was stupid, because she still believed her father was a good guy.
God bless her.
But she didn't, you know, AJ was more on, you know, in tune with the fact that his dad was a gangster.
AJ found out the key to life. You set your car on fire, and suddenly you lose all thoughts of depression and solving world hunger.
AJ had his little POA that he was hanging out with, and then that's when I, you know, even with that scene with him in the BMW, all of a sudden he's completely materialistic.
Yeah, and
that pissed me off.
Too. And again, that's David Chase lecturing us, saying, look, this is really about a family that's into their material possessions. That's why they're together. You know, dude, you're not writing the show 30-something.
Did you see the carbon monoxide when that was first coming here? Didn't you think that was what was going to happen?
Yeah, sure.
That's a good ending.
Very Batman-like.
Yes.
Killed him with penguin gas.
And he has his eyes closed. He was, you know what? He knew that, too. He was teasing us throughout. He was teasing us throughout. He really was. Yeah.
David Chase, why you?
Outside of Phil, I will tell you this, though, and I think I told you this.
Ball my hand into a fist, why you?
I think I said this to you last night, that I really think that the only thing I enjoyed along with Phil was Polly Walnuts, because it was great old Polly Walnuts with the, you know, I saw the Virgin Mary in the bottom bang.
Yeah.
That, to me, gave me a little, you know, little laughing pleasure. Yeah. I enjoyed that. And that they went back to what they used to do, because the Sopranos used to make us laugh.
A couple of funny lines.
A lot.
Last night.
Yeah, I also enjoyed Polly Walnuts with that thing to get a suntan.
Yeah, yeah, right. Sitting outside.
He used to do that a lot on the show as well.
He's going back. And you know, I do like the fact that nothing happened to him. But nothing happened to anybody except for Phil,
right?
Except for Phil,
AJ.
Life goes on.
AJ had his life turn around.
Well, he hit the lucky stick.
Because, as you know, the characters of Tony and Carm have shown over the last 6 years that when they get frustrated with AJ and he makes a decision like he wants to join the armed forces, they immediately that's where I was sitting there watching the show, and I know it's a fake show, but this is a kid who's put them through the ringer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He finally comes to them and says, I want to go into the Army. Wouldn't the character of Tony say, go, it'll make a man out of
you. About time.
Instead of say, hold on a second.
Right.
We have a cushy job for you.
Yep.
Coincidentally, working on a movie.
Well, AJ, I think, was the voice of David Chase in the last few episodes. He kind of said the things I think that David Chase wanted to say, because David Chase is bitter at all the people that have made his show number one. That's the vibe I get from this guy. That this guy, you know, is incredibly successful, but he's not real fond of the people that have made that show successful. I really believe that. That's why he did what he did. That's why he had AJ talking about how it's not really important. You know?
I was naively thinking that they were setting us up. Like when everything started to click for AJ, I thought, well, okay, he's going to be the one to get in the car and turn it on and
kaboom,
boom,
boom.
Yeah,
right.
We were waiting. I mean, there were so many moments like that because it's a gangster show,
right,
and everybody wants to see people get blown up. And it really didn't happen. He did give us one, though, and that was Phil's head.
And the cat. You know, would you save me all of the symbolic crap?
Hey, T.
He's just looking at the picture.
He's looking at the kid. That's what he called Christopher.
Yeah.
The picture of the dead kid. Look at that, T. They're bad. Cats are bad, T.
All right.
He was right. Polly Walnuts was right about that.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
Wrong. I give the episode a 0.0. Seriously.
Right. On what scale?
1 to 10.
You give it a 3.
Buzz.
I give it a 1. A solid 1. Out of 10.
You, boy?
I concur with Mike, 3, because of the murder of Phil.
Murder of Phil and a few laughs from Polly Walnuts.
That's a high number for a small amount.
I mean, the only reason, really, that I give it a higher number than you guys is because of the Polly Walnuts hating cats.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hello, fellow disappointees.
Hi there.
I have a thought that they.
Are you calling from the crow's nest of a freighter at sea?
No, I'm sorry. I'm speaking through a Bluetooth.
Well, pick up, for God's sake.
Pick up your phone and speak into it the normal way.
I want to have a dentist take a look at that, too.
Listen, I think they are going to use the multiple endings that they filmed to sell you a box set for $25 in the near future and make more money off of you.
That's another theory.
There are
alternate endings available on DVD.
That I won't succumb to.
$25
Are you going to whore us out like that? Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello.
What the F? For a third of my life, unjustifiably, I have loved you guys. Now you have justified me. I thought at the end of last night's episode, every radio station in the world should just play Journey all day long, just in protest, all day long. And you guys kicked it off, and I love you for it. Peace out.
Thank you.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
So Buzz told me that this weekend he found a bit of crotch rot and he started digging down there.
Right.
And then he reached out. You know he's got that real long Coke fingernail?
Yeah. The one that he has painted?
Right. So he reached right down there by his balls and he pulled out.
I gotta go.
Okay, go ahead.
I gotta really go.
Okay. Go ahead.
You need the music.
Oh, well, hold on. Directed by Neil Clark Warren. That's how you got to follow it up with directed.
Right.
Here we go.
So I bumped into Rob Spiewak at the mall this weekend. And we were sitting there, and there was a loud family, and they happened to be an African-American family. And, you know, I think he plays this up on the air, you know, that it's a big deal, that he makes jokes about it. And so Rob and I are chatting. Rob's getting more and more annoyed at this family. And one guy in particular, I guess it was either the older brother or the father, I'm not sure. He was a loud guy. And, you know, suddenly we're in the middle of just chatting, and Rob says, top of his lungs, I mean, right to this guy, he goes, shut.
Directed by David Duke.
What a jibsky.
Yeah, it was a jibsky.
And that's not like even a Seinfeld jibsky, because even though the last Seinfeld sucked,
finales sucked.
They tried. But at least on Seinfeld, not particularly funny,
right,
with Larry David, right?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Nobody tried something, you know. They were all in jail at the end and blah, blah.
You know, by the time shows are over, the writers are burned out. And when they do the big deal for a finale, I think it just doesn't work. It doesn't seem to. The history has shown us it doesn't really
mostly
work.
Mostly that's true.
I guess there's also a difference between a finale for a sitcom and a finale for a show like The Sopranos. Yeah. And it's really hard to put The Sopranos in a category because there's not been a show like that before.
You know, you're right, though, that it is harder probably to do it for a comedy, to wrap up a comedy. I think with a drama, you could really. I mean, there are infinite possibilities. I just think you know, this guy David Chase. I just think he's bitter at the audience.
I was watching on E! Entertainment TV this weekend. Speaking of sitcoms that recently went off the air, and the final episode about the final episode of The King of Queens. That I don't know who it was. The National Enquirer. Someone walked in to Leah Remini's dressing room on the last day of filming, and they thought that an animal had died because of the smell, and they walked in, and she was sitting right there, and her pants were...
I'm trying to think of her relatives. Directed by...
Jackie? Her mom?
Directed by Vivian.
Edith Vivian.
Wow.
You That's Sopranos.
What it was like.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
I just wanted to say, you know, on that last episode, at least no one got hurt. Thank God.
Thank God.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go. Cross and kiss.
Uh-huh. Cross and kiss.
You know, that's our motto. Always look both ways.
Yeah. And it was nice to see...
Cross and kiss.
It was nice to see Phil get whacked in that classic velour running suit that the wise guys wear.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Crunch.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
I just wanted to say that, you know, sometimes you have to treat the audience like a child. You can't give them what they want because ultimately they'll be less happy.
Yes. Stinky old Jerry Seinfeld.
I believe, didn't Jerry say, give them what they want because at least there's one thing in their life they'll be happy about?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. He had the right attitude about it. David Chase obviously didn't feel the same way.
He was just a prick about it, Jerry Seinfeld was. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hi, howdy.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering, I personally happen to view the path of the Sopranos seasons overall to be analogous with the path of Uncle Junior.
You mean like dying at the end, like just being completely out of it?
Like in the analogous end, not being aware of themselves and like basically it. Sitting in their own excrement.
Mike, that is the analogous of the situation.
Yes.
And who is the actor that plays Uncle June? I forgot what his name is. We've had
Dominic somebody.
Dominic something. And CNH. And I got to give credit to him for taking his teeth out for the final episode.
Yeah.
He's done it a few times, but even that, the dialogue was so weak. The last scene between him and Tony.
That's nice. Weren't you like me also at waiting for maybe at least a glimmer from Uncle June?
Maybe yelling back at Tony as he's walking out of the ward.
Something like, you know, hey, you stupid MF-er.
Yeah.
I never really lost it. This is an act.
Yeah, or something like that.
Or at least,
you know,
something to say, I know who you are.
Sure.
You know, I shot you on purpose.
Right. In and out for a moment, even.
Maybe if everyone took their teeth out or had them pulled, like Janice.
Janice, she's available. Oh, God.
Lovely red lips.
I'm getting more disappointed the more I think of it.
Well, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Sopranos Hotline.
And there you go. Just like
that. Was Phil. Phil Leotardo.
And you know the grandkids had to hear that.
Yeah, they did.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, boys.
Hi there.
Hey, you know, you missed David Chase's biggest problem last night. TV's Angie is Meadow's new soon-to-be mother-in-law. You got a cow sound effect anywhere handy?
Not a pest cow.
Oh my God!
Did you even recognize her?
I didn't.
I did not until the credits.
Until the credits.
TV's Angie. That's the way to call it too.
On Angie, her mother was played by Doris Roberts, that's and true. Now she has become Doris Roberts.
What a thing she turned out to be.
Can't tell.
I was listening to Jerry Seinfeld talk the other day about the ending of the Sopranos.
Yeah. You have to think of the audience as a child that you're in charge of. And you have to do right by the child. And the child will ask for things that they shouldn't.
That's the way to do it. Kill it like right before he can make a point.
Right, Jerry.
Unbelievable. Jerry!
That's gold, Jerry!
Jerry.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
What's up, Patrons?
Hi there.
Hey, don't you think the ending would have been even 1,000% better if that guy had just stepped out of the bathroom with a pistol and then cut the black? I mean, if that's
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, if he'd come out with a gun, it would have been better.
But again, what an awful tease, which is why I say F.E. Right. David Chase. Of course everyone knows that's just like in The Godfather when the guy goes in the bathroom and finds the gun. That's what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. I got it. The guy comes out of the bathroom. He's looking at Tony. Tony's looking at him. Then Carmelo's looking at him. Then he's looking back at them. He's looking distressed. He's looking concerned. Tony sits up. The guy comes up and he throws up all over the table. Throws up on all of them.
Also, my son was telling me there is some significance to the guy, the truck driver in the USA hat that was sitting in that ice cream shop as well.
He almost looked like the sporting goods store owner that they put out of business earlier in the episodes.
You know, it was
way back. Remember when they took over that sporting goods store?
Yeah, right.
And he was the guy from the Terminator?
Yeah, the guy that was the cop in the Terminator.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if it was the same guy, but it had looked like him made up in some way.
See, and that's the thing. I think this is one of the most disjointed television series in history, with all those unfinished stories and tease. You'd start something that you'd genuinely be interested in, and they'd never follow it up.
I like the idea of a Sopranos movie, though.
Not me.
Oh, don't go.
P.U.
I'm never watching anything David Chase does again.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hi. I was just letting you know that I listen through 105.7, and they keep cutting you guys off in the middle of your stories.
When is that, honey? Like when the Journey music is playing?
No. Like when you were talking about Buzz having the long Coke fingernail, they cut the story off, and it was just silent.
All right. Let me try something right now with you and see if the same thing happens. So, Mike, this lady called the show.
Right.
And I could tell immediately that she had had some type of vaginitis. Maybe. And over the weekend, I could tell that perhaps she'd been in to see a doctor because she was bleeding profusely. Hello?
Hello?
What happened?
They cut you off after the vaginitis part.
Directed by Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Honey.
We're doing a bit. You know that, right?
Honey, did you watch The Sopranos last night?
I did. Oh, I didn't know. I did watch.
Oh, no. You didn't know that we were chopping ourselves off.
Hold on. Hey, stupid. Lady.
I'm sorry.
This is the scene from The Sopranos.
Uh-huh.
Hold on.
I get it now. I totally get it.
It's funny, isn't it?
It is funny.
Do you feel a little foolish now?
I do, and it is funny. And I'm so annoyed when it happened last night. That's why
That's why it's funny.
She hates it.
Yes, I'm going to go now.
I bet you loved the episode last night, didn't you?
I was really irritated with it.
She was irritated. And yeah. Now you understand. I do have that fingernail, though.
Very nice. All right, I'm
going to
hang up.
Okay, bye. She's embarrassed.
I remember coming home once, and my father says, C's are not allowed. And
having said that, you are with a capital C.
Somebody give me a C.
There you go. C time.
A C.
How about a C?
I mean, anytime you mention the C word, you know, it causes concern.
Sure does. Bro.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
Hi, what's up?
Hey, I was listening to a little Steven on an interview on a local show down here in South Florida this morning.
Yeah.
He said that if you watch the credits at the end, that one of the guys that's sitting in that restaurant, the guy, creepy guy that went to the bathroom,
yeah,
his character's last name is Leotardo. That's Phil's brother.
The guy.
And he said that you guys were talking about.
That's a great call. That is a great, insightful call. I like that. The guy was the Leotardo.
So it's really an FU.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But it's great that he did it with the credits.
He said he did it on purpose. He would do it like that. He said a couple episodes ago when they were talking about getting whacked, how you don't know what's coming, and everything just fades to black, and then look what he does for the last episode.
All right, that's a good call. Thank you, my friend.
You got it, brother.
So the guy gets a credit as a Leotardo.
It's not fair. It wasn't in the story. It wasn't in the film. It's
not fair. There's no crying in baseball.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, David Chase, you're smarter than us. Hello. I don't like, you know, he hasn't been in a good mood since he left his partner, Crook.
Hello, Don. Don and Mike Show.
Hi. I just want to let you know you guys wasted 2 hours of my time on Saturday because the Money Pit came on HBO and I waited for the laugh.
Well, you know, that movie is not bad.
It was
hilarious. Shelley Long. It's too much Shelley Long.
I was just going to say, if you take the Shelley Long out.
If you take her out, if you put like somebody, it was like what Liza Minnelli did to Arthur. You know, you have these horrible women in these funny movies, you know.
If you want to see Shelley Long at her finest, rent Troop Beverly Hills.
I will.
You remember that.
Troop Beverly Hills. I didn't even see that, but I know she was in it. Horrible.
And she was also in some piece of crap movie with Ryan O'Neal, I think, and Drew Barrymore, where Drew Barrymore wanted to divorce her parents.
You followed the career, and I remember you're one of the original Shelley Long haters. You followed her career out of just almost like a masochistic way. You know, you wanted to go and not be entertained by
her.
She
was portrayed on Cheers when Cheers first started as being this hot POA that Sam Malone couldn't wait to bone.
Right. And she made a David Caruso move that, you know, at least David Caruso came back on CSI Miami.
Right.
But Shelley Long never recovered from leaving that show Cheers and then going on to try to be a movie star.
Someday.
She made Irreconcilable Differences. That's the movie.
Was that it?
That was the name of it, yeah.
And her whole rap towards the end of Cheers. Well, the whole time she was on Cheers, I didn't like her because she always spoke in that way.
Yes, right. She was a tight ass.
Diane, yes.
That's it. Diane was the tight. And then replaced by Kirstie Alley,
better.
Who was so much better.
Uh-huh. Chocolate cake! Baby, hello. Don and Mike Show. Howdy.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Hi.
Great way for the show to end last night when they faded to black.
They didn't fade.
When they went to black.
It was an abrupt just stop.
And it really wasn't even going to black. Was it? It was really a different kind. It was not like they went to black.
It was an effect that looked like you had lost the signal on your television.
They went to kind of gray. I mean, he even
He even sweated that little detail to screw with his audience.
At that point in time, have Light come on. Have Bob Newhart roll over. Wake up his wife.
Yeah, that was an ending.
That's a good ending to the show. Right. Thank you, my friend.
I wonder how many people...
I got to go back and look at it. I didn't erase it because I want to see that credit with the Leotardo.
I erased it twice.
You know, maybe that's what my son was trying to tell me about one of the guys in the bar, but I thought he said it was the guy with the hat, too, so who knows?
Yeah, it's probably a couple of guys with axes to grind, you know, and who knows? You never know.
How many people, seriously, looked at their set or after like 5 seconds? You did, Buzz?
Absolutely.
I said, you're kidding me. You're kidding. It's gone out now. Mm-hmm. This will be the great. I mean, this just cannot be
universal. And I guess
he knew that. That's what he did.
And that's when I got the maddest.
He's laughing at
when
us.
when I switched and then came back mm-hmm. and saw the credits. Seriously, I got up like, well, F you.
In fact, he extended the black. Normally, when you cut to black like that, you stay there one and a half beats, and then you roll the credit. He must have been there 3.5, 4 beats before they rolled it to really make us think there was technical trouble.
Mm-hmm. And they were building up. Somehow, I don't know how they did it with the editing or whatever, or because it was Meadow couldn't park her car. I mean, my heart was racing because I was waiting for something to happen.
But here's the deal.
That's very dangerous.
Just remember what AJ says.
Well, I just climbed steps.
The last few episodes, everything that AJ's saying, I believe, is the voice of David Chase.
Could be.
I believe that's how David Chase looks at the world. And
he's
not as good looking
as David Chase.
Well, you know what? It's not a point of view that I necessarily disagree with that comes out of AJ's mouth about the futility of all of it. David Chase thinks that we're all a bunch of little brains, mm-hmm. and he effed with us because he could. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know what type of point. I sure hope that he grants somebody an interview where he comes clean on a little bit of why he did what he did, because I think that's the least he can do.
He's cagey like that, and I think he likes the fact that I'm sure he's going to come out with this spin if he ever does an interview.
Right.
I left it open to the audience's interpretation.
He does that. He's an asshat.
Here's the plan. We take him to Gitmo and we interrogate him.
You know, and he may think we're little brains, but he made sure that he wrote his ugly daughter in to have one more scene as Meadow's friend.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter, Hunter. And look at their faces.
That's his daughter.
I mean, and I think, you know, you could do work on that.
Yeah.
You could carve that, and she's still going to look like David Chase.
Wow.
David Chase with hair.
Hunter Chase.
Hunter Chase.
I bet she had lots of fun nicknames when she was in high school.
Ugly Chase.
Hunter.
Oh, my God.
Hunter. Rhymes with something else. Hunter.
Hunter, yes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio God.
Howdy, what's up?
I have two things to say. One, I think he actually did a decent job of building up on suspense at the last minute when they kind of screwed us all. Like with the random scenes, the Meadow taking long to park. I thought she was going to get hit by a car or something. Yeah. Something exciting was going to happen.
Right.
But I fully believe that you should focus on Ocean 13, a decent trilogy.
All right, thank you. Well, I fully believe that. The children are our future.
Yeah, there you go.
Feed them well and let them multiply.
Mm-hmm. You know, I go back and forth now. As we're talking about it, I feel like, I was disappointed, but I feel like maybe we shouldn't be all that upset about it.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, really, who cares? It's over.
I just want to say,
it's meaningless.
I do not want this season box set. Please, nobody get it to me because I will re-gift it as fast as I will send it to Angelina Jolie's yet-to-be-adopted Korean kid.
Hey, and a fine little show right after that last night on HBO. That show, John from Cincinnati.
You like that?
And I watched that specifically because the reviewers hated some of the reviews that I heard about it were so terrible that I thought it might be good.
If Luke Perry's on television, you're watching it.
Very little Luke Perry.
I turned it off in protest of HBO.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And also in protest of all those other crappy shows they have, like Big Love.
Oh, what is Big Love? God, give me a break.
It's a big load of turds.
Oh, God. I mean, and then Regis and Kathy Lee today. Regis and Kelly Lee. We have to suffer through Bill Paxton, George Lopez, and Kelly. All at once. All on the same stage together.
Why can't George Lopez drink coffee? Did you see him holding that cup like it was about to attack him?
He looks like, seriously, some sort of animated claymation character.
He looks like he's going to die.
George Lopez.
He's very excited.
So you have the blues.
Hello, the blues. Hello, Kelly.
Hey, it's the bum.
I will be at Radio City Music Hall with my stand-up comedy routine.
When are you going to figure out I want to do my own type of show? You know, with gardening tips.
Here we are. Kelly Ripa and George Lopez, two canceled sitcom stars.
The ratings just came in, bum. you lost a half of your audience. That's not possible. How can that have happened?
So is Regis dead?
I think Regis has issues.
Yeah.
I mean, Regis is taking a hell of a lot of time off.
Yeah. Mike, I believe them when they say he's on assignment.
Right.
Regis is on assignment.
He's on assignment here's at St. Jude's.
Yeah, here's the assignment he's on. Tell me, which wood do you like better?
You like the mahogany or the pine?
Elia. Yeah. I'm on assignment. I'm on assignment. There we go. I'm on assignment at the funeral home.
I'm picking caskets with joy.
Satin lining or silk.
All right, well, let's continue this in just a moment.
Very good.
I'm guessing that's what everybody's calling about is The Sopranos.
A lot of people have strong emotions about this.
Jip! What a jip, what a jip, what a jip.
That's right.
Goddamn HBO. They still run Hope Floats every other day. Screw them. Screw you, David Chase.
Hope Floats.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Right. What I had no show for the day. You're now hearing the sound of one man raping 11 million people. What I had no show for the day.
You hump. You big hump. The onion rings didn't even look good.
David Chase, how do you feel about what you did to the audience?
I like rape.
There he is.
Of course you do. God.
David Chase.
I guess the question is, why do you have to be such a hump?
Wow.
David Chase.
You are never to blame. You are never to blame. You may feel shame, but all the same, you are never to blame.
I tell you, you know what movie, what part of a movie I will never watch now because of this?
What's that?
I'll never watch the chase scene.
Good for you.
I never will.
That's weak. That's very weak.
Well, I was trying to think of a joke that would be cut to the chase.
You could say you would never watch the show, the old TV show, The Paper Chase.
That's weak, too.
Well, that's better than your
chase.
If
you're going to say I'm weak with that one, come on. I was trying to figure out a joke for cut to the chase.
I think you were turning our sign-off here into commercials into a low-speed chase.
Oh, you know, there was one story, though, I wanted to tell you.
It's amazing. What was something happened to you?
When I got home last night, I was at a golf tournament. Nobody was in the house, and there was someone in my house when I walked in.
Really?
And I haven't told you this, but about 2 years ago, I got a permit to carry a. You know, he wants to do one himself now.
No.
There you go.
Okay.
That's the ending?
Yeah.
That's the ending right there.
That's it. Well, oh, my God, commercial
Look
time.
Look at the time.
Commercial time. We got to drive over some commercials like they drove over Phil's brains.
Crunch.
And then we'll come back with a little more of this. And also today, we do have the tapes from the gay and lesbian parade, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Do we have our correspondent down there?
Mac Pollock went down with Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Wonderful.
So we'll hear about that. And we'll get to your calls. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Anybody need some barber scissors?
Huh?
What's up next to my coat?
He was at the safe house. We brought him over.
Get him the f*** out. He's a snake, but fur. The old Italians will tell you, you can't even put him around the baby. They stuck the breath right out.
Well, you're the only baby here, so we're ahead of the game.
You want to be wearing this f***ing pelt on your head? I said get rid of him.
Leave him. He's a good guy.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, huh.
you know.
Right.
They wear corrective shoes on their brains. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hey, last night I'm watching the show with my wife, and when it went to that, you know, like you lost the signal, I looked and I said, who the hell hit the remote? And no one had the remote. And then I looked at her and I said, what the hell would Jackie Kennedy do?
You know, it's been a long time.
It has.
What would Jackie do?
Exactly. What would Jackie do?
Why was that funny so long?
Let alone.
No, not that Jackie.
I know the other Jackie.
I know it was about the other Jackie.
What would Jackie Kennedy do?
Right. We know it's Jackie Stallone.
I don't remember it that well.
No, but there was something. It's not clear.
I don't remember
me,
what
though.
Was funny about it.
But it was something we hung our hat on for a long time with what would Jackie Kennedy do?
It seems to me someone stupid said that's how they try to make decisions. How would Jackie Kennedy handle
it? And we seized on it.
Yeah, and it wasn't so much a dig at Jackie Kennedy. It was the stupid person trying to be like
WWJKD.
Exactly.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, guys. How are you today?
Hi, we're doing great. Thank you.
I wanted to bring up that VD thing we were listening to last week.
Yeah, so you learned something?
That quality informative
tape?
You
know, I think that Baker's voice is Merle Howard Kalins. You might want to check it out.
You think that Baker on the VD tapes from the 50s sounds like the genius that is Merle Howard Kalin?
It does, I think. I was laughing so hard about it. I'm surprised somebody else didn't see.
I believe the cheese stands alone.
There's one guy on that tape, the guy that had the syphilis, that they were interviewing that sounded a little like Merle Howard Kalin.
Yeah, that's cool.
Speaking of diseases, though.
Yeah.
Are you still there on the phone? Hello, honey?
Lady?
Yes?
Well, what's your name?
Oh, my Tiffany.
Tiffany. Oh. I was in a strip club over the weekend, and there was a girl named Tiffany.
Yep.
And I was right in the front row having a roast beef sandwich and my milk.
Is it rare?
Rare roast beef.
Mm-hmm.
It was all nude, Mike.
Yeah.
The all nude club. She, right in front of me, went down on one knee. And as I took a bite of my sandwich, before you know it,
that's Tiffany. That's Tiffany.
On, let's give a shout out really to our affiliate of the day.
Really?
Joe just told me during the break that we're getting lots of calls from South Florida, where we're heard in Miami and Boca Raton on WMEN.
Right.
Apparently every time today that we've done that thing and paused, they're throwing in a sweeper sound effect that says, WMEN Miami.
Not fair. Not funny. It ruins the effect.
There's a reason we're doing it. Yeah. Is this flying over everyone's head?
I don't
today?
Think so. Maybe it is.
Just
you know what?
You.
Sometimes maybe we take this all for granted. I'm sitting here. I'm looking at you working the controls and doing this. Maybe this out in Radio Land is flying over people's heads.
You need to look at the listener the way David Chase looks at the viewer.
And the way Jerry Seinfeld looks at the viewer.
Please, there is a website called whatwouldjackiedo.com on the book, What Would Jackie Do? So there's a book, What Would Jackie
Maybe
Kennedy
that's
Do?
How it
what would Jackie Kennedy do?
And it's from a long time ago that we used to do that.
Ages. Sure. Sure, boy.
But I guess the now is the person down in South Florida, is he popping in this sweeper because he wants to be clever? Or is he popping in this sweeper because he just wants to fill the dead time?
That I have no idea. I think it's most likely that old radio thing about when you hear a dead air, immediately put something in. But we're doing it on purpose, though.
I know for a fact, as a rule, board ops are clever. So I'm going with that.
Always an adventure.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get some calls now on the air from South Florida, Joe. So we got quite a few during the break. Hello, Don and Mike Show. What's up?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Hey, when Tony comes into the restaurant, he's wearing one set of clothes, and when they picture him sitting down, he's wearing another set. And right when
he's got a jacket on.
And then Janice walks.
Wait! He's wearing a jacket when he walks into the restaurant.
Oh, was it a jacket? I thought it was just a big shirt. And then Janice walks in right behind.
Big leather shirt.
Also in the last scene.
Big leather
shirt. Super, with the big Elvis collar on.
I don't know if you noticed this. In the last scene, Carmella was played by Sharon Stone.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, I've been listening. It's been cutting out like every like 20 minutes or so. I'm listening in the D.C. area. They go to tell something funny, and all of a sudden it goes dead silent.
Are you really listening?
All right, let me just see if you're listening right now. I want to tell you. There was this guy that called our show one time, Mike. And we've been doing this thing and wondering if we were going over people's heads because we're pretty stupid.
Right.
But then we realized that the guy seriously, when he was a child, as it turned out, both his mother and his father, not only sexually, but also physically.
Hello?
Directed by Chevy Chase. There it is.
Educating listeners.
Did you watch The Sopranos last night, sir?
One at a time.
No, they hang up, too.
Yeah.
Because they have amazingly short attention spans.
Amazingly short.
Bye-bye.
Well, they do. The idiot.
Just one more time. So they and our station in Miami and everybody else knows.
Uh-huh.
Here's how The Sopranos ended last night.
Really ended.
This is what we have been mocking today.
Yes. They're all sitting in a diner, and Tony plays a song on the jukebox.
Right.
It goes something like this.
When I had Nora jump for the table.
There's Meadow coming in. Tony looks up.
WMEN Miami.
That's how The Sopranos ended last night, with a break longer than the break we had. Does everybody understand?
That's what we've been doing, telling stories that would lead people to believe something big was coming, and then Don cuts it off.
Like on The Sopranos.
That's what we were doing.
It's a joke.
I mean, it's not.
I know that most of you got it.
It's knocked Paris Hilton off the front page.
Yes.
Yeah.
The God-fearing Paris Hilton.
Does anybody watch HBO?
Come on.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, I'm calling from Sacramento, and I even understand what's going on.
Well, that says something right there.
Get out while you can.
Hi there. Don and Mike show.
Hi there. I just wanted to call with some input on the truck driver in the diner and their comments about seeing him before.
All right. Go ahead. Sure.
Go. Yes, this would be the time to do that,
make
sir.
Make those comments now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I tell you what. Could you put them in written form, please?
Yeah.
Pardon?
Could you write them down and send them to us?
Send them to...
Right.
STFU. North Pole.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's right. Be indignant and hang up because I'm the stupid one.
He didn't get it either.
No.
When we were cutting things off.
He also doesn't get STFU.
Mm-hmm.
Shut the F up.
Right. Care of North Pole.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
I was listening to an interview today with Bobby Baklava. I can't think of the actor's name.
Bobby Baklava.
Yeah.
And he said that he was disappointed because when Meadow comes through the door, Tom Sizemore grabs her and beats her, and then...
There you
finally.
Go.
Finally.
That's funny.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. And you know, maybe
is everybody happy?
Maybe he was even smart enough to get us with Bobby Baklava.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
It worked.
If only he had Journey playing in the background.
Yes, that would have been perfect.
That would have been
perfect.
It worked.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Making fun of Sopranos. Charlene found that out.
God, I hate it when listeners do Charlie.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, listen, I called and tried calling about half an hour ago. Lost the signal. Three episodes. Tony and Bobby laying in the lake. Bobby says, "I wonder what it's like to be whacked." He said, "I don't know. It just goes to black."
All right, thank you, Mr. Chase. Thank you for checking in.
Is that your idea for how to end it?
That's what he said. Three, you know, laying on the lake. That's what Tony said.
What are you talking about?
Mike, very disjointed, like he's talking about the episode where Tony and Bobby had the fight up at the lake.
Right.
No, and, yeah, but on the lake, that's what he did. No, not a fight. They were laying there relaxed in the boat.
No, they were talking about whacking other people, and Bobby was talking about how he doesn't like to do that. And Tony was saying to Bobby Bacala, you've never done that, have you? You've never gotten your chair.
No. And he said, I wonder what it's like to be whacked.
And that was in the episode in which Bobby got into the fist fight with Tony.
And I really would, I'm not sure. I'd have to have the episode here. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he said, I wonder what it's like to be whacked. I wonder what it's like to whack somebody. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about what it would be like.
Because he said, it just goes to black.
And you think, okay, let's give you that.
Right.
Let's give you that. What's the meaning there?
Well, that's how it all ended. Right. I mean, that's just a possibility. It went to black.
You know what else is a possibility?
What?
That a giant dinosaur egg is going to fall on your head today.
It could happen.
It could happen.
You never know. From a giant pterodactyl in the sky.
It's all a possibility.
Right.
All a possibility.
You know what? I think this country's got another 10 years. I swear to God.
Just barely.
I don't know who it's going to be. I really don't know who it's going to be, but they're going to speak a different language. Because we're just up here going, bee.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. I think they speak Spanish, Mike.
It could happen.
Hello.
Could be Chinese, could be Spanish.
Hola. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
You know, there's a boat in something that the thing did with something and went to black.
Don and Mike Show.
In the 2007 Tony Award for the worst ending to a cable series or a musical goes to...
The effort was there. The effort to both understand the joke and try.
Yeah.
There's something about effort that I do appreciate.
An E for effort.
Uh-huh. But there are just a few little things.
Hello.
Why pick it apart?
Don and Mike Show. Why not, Mike?
Why not?
Let's pick it apart. That's what we do.
Would be the Emmy Award.
Hi, boys. Bobby
Even
Bob
though the Tonys were on last night.
We're the best at picking things apart.
We've got an aggressive caller here. Hello, aggressive caller.
Hi there. What's up, Don and Mike Show?
Sorry about that, guys. Did you notice in the very opening scene when Tony was laying there, he kind of looked real peaceful, and the music in the background sounded like funeral music. Looked like maybe he was laying in a coffin. Mm-hmm. I thought they were foreshadowing to the end of the show.
Dude, that wasn't funeral music. That was You Keep Me Hanging On by Vanilla Fudge,
right,
which does have an organ riff at the beginning of it. I don't think it was like funeral sounding.
No, I didn't think it was funeral at all. I thought it was actually...
Dun, 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 dun. Set me free.
If you know that song.
Maybe I'm just used to getting mind screwed by David Chase because my head is still spinning wondering what the hell happened.
I will miss that about The Sopranos, though. Tony eating, Tony sleeping, doing all the basic things. I like watching him wake up. He's great at that. You know he's acting. I mean, he really is. It's not like they say, hey, go catch 40 movies. He does sleeping, I think, better than any modern actor.
What a fantastic bit of praise that is, Mike.
It's about all I can get from
Hello.
My last night's show.
Don and Mike Show.
My lord, my lady.
Hey, hi there.
Hey, what's up? Listen, when my brother called me as soon as it went, it went out. He called me, I picked up, and I go, oh, can you believe this? This is amazing. Tony just did that? Oh, my God. He goes, what? I totally screwed with his head.
Oh. That is great. You know what? And that is... Oh, that is brilliant, because we could have all gotten each other.
Yeah, but you would have had to have done it real quick.
You have to do it almost immediately. You have to go and say,
Oh my God,
have you ever seen anything that bloody? That is fantastic that you thought to do that. That's fantastic.
And I bet America's phone lines lit up at the end last night. A lot of people were calling a lot of other people at the end last night.
You know what? And any of us could have been taken hook, line, and sinker if we had chosen to do that.
There may have been some breaking of electronic equipment. If that call had come through. Like,
if you had gotten to me or I had gotten to you, right, and we had gone.
Oh my God, did you believe? I said, my set went. I mean, I can picture it happening.
I would have gone, it's one thing to see Tony get it, but Carmella, oh my God, that was so disgusting.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
So, like, you know, in season 2, episode 4, they had this episode where they played Journey and then AC/DC, and it was a premonition. I hate these people who call it.
More power to you.
I agree with the caller.
More power to you. We're up on a break. We're almost done with this crap. We will talk to Ross Valerie from Journey, though.
I hate these people.
To find out if this is going to be the single event that catapults Journey back into the spotlight. Not that they're not already there.
Now, Ross played on that particular song, correct? Did he play on that one? We always get Ross Valerie on and say, well, that's the one when I was...
Hey, Joe?
He wasn't on Raised on the Radio.
Joe? Hey, Joe.
Yes, Don.
What? Hi there. Well, how was your weekend?
It was fine.
Was
how
your friend?
Yours?
It was great. Thank you. Was your friend Ross Valerie from Journey on Don't Stop Believing?
Yes, that bass line is one of his signatures.
Huh? Fantastic. Oh. Thank you, Joe.
Sure, Don. Anything else?
He loved the basketball game last night.
Did you watch the game last night?
I did.
Why is that, Joe?
I like NBA playoff basketball and finals.
Because he knows the game.
No shot game.
You guys were all telling me.
Well, we were chatting. Joe and I were
talking sports.
Joe, I didn't go into detail about it, but Joe and I were chatting before the show about the basketball game and how he enjoyed it. And Joe said he really enjoyed the basketball game last night, and he enjoys it because, if I remember, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, you enjoy it because you played a little hoops in your younger days.
That's correct.
There it is.
And what about your analysis you were offering Matt the intern about the scoring broken down by quarters?
Well, I was just comparing the scoring by quarters by the Cavaliers. They wait until the fourth quarter to score 30 points. You're just not going to win that way.
And didn't you have like a theory about strategy,
Marv Ardinger,
for the game, like putting in the second string guys? Or?
Yeah, in the second quarter, right before the half, they should have put in their bench to Schwack and foul the other guys to the line so they could at least get 10 or 12 points.
All right, thank you.
Good advice.
Thank you, Joe Kornheiser.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Anything else?
I could have stolen that and come in here and pretended I watched the game. Dad, a little bit.
So anyway, we were doing the show, and we were just getting a bunch of calls from people who just did not get it.
Right.
The stupid joke.
Right.
And then we asked Joe about the basketball game, and he didn't really seem to be with us. And as we looked over, did you see him over there standing? Did you see what was happening in his pants?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing because he was standing right next to Matt the intern. And as soon as Matt got within about 5 inches of him, Joe dropped trow and
I was a little sloppy. Sorry about that.
No, that was fine. It was passable.
Sorry about that. Well, passable, Mike.
I know.
It's tough to do.
Passable. I kind of jumped in there halfway through it.
640 WMEN, Miami. Tell me something. Do you break into the big pauses on the Man Cow show down there?
They have Man Cow down there? They have Eric Mueller down there?
Yeah. I was reading about him over the weekend. Hold on real fast. He was at one of these DJ seminars. Pull it up right here. About shock radio.
Yeah. Were you reading in his favorite magazine, Popular Stain?
Hold on a second.
Radio. Okay. Radio. Radio, what would life be without it?
There it is. So he's on our station in Miami. He was at the New Media Seminar on Saturday. And here's what he had to say. Well, this is where you've got a bunch of radio guys getting together, giving each other handies.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yes, shock radio is over. Shock radio is over. The days of making fun of historical people. Hold on. Ah, Christ. I just lost it. Yeah, I'll find it. Oh, I'm afraid I deserve this.
Well, to make a long story short, was he popping off again?
Yeah. Directed by I Don't Know How to Get Out of This.
Bush Babies, what are you doing?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
But I didn't cheer. I stood right up and started shouting, this isn't what happened last week. Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
Yep.
This isn't fair.
All right, baby.
He didn't get out of the car.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Did you wash your ass today, Don?
He didn't.
They will choke your throat with the umbilical cord of comedy. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Damn straight. All right, I found that stuff about Man Cow that we were talking about before we went to break.
Okay.
Camulia.
We've talked about this douchebag. He's a
douchebag.
He's on our station in Miami. He used to be a shock jock like we all are. And he's traded into stripes now. And has turned his back on the type of radio that gave him the career that he has today.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than just change his act like Rush Limbaugh, he's now reaching out and wants to be an advocate for what he calls better radio.
And it seems to us to be a bit transparent that he's doing this just to feather his bed on the backs of other people that have done the same kind of radio he's done.
And we get snippets of this guy's show every day, and he still does the same crap he's always done on his show. Calls people names, calls people douchebags, calls them, you know, feminine hygiene products, like we all do.
And he does it in a weird little way where he says, hey, I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to say that, you know, I wish you were dead. I'm not going to say I wish you were hit by a bus.
Right.
That's kind of the way he covers his ass.
So he's on this, like, barnstorming tour where he's going on any TV show that will have him on. Specifically, he was jumping into Opie and Anthony's face about the thing with them being suspended from XM.
Right.
And now he's at this new media seminar on Saturday. And it says, notable quotables, Man Cow, who was on the dais. That era of shock radio is over. It's done, says Man Cow. The pendulum is swung on voyeuristic stuff, like raping the Secretary of State. And intelligent talk radio, as he's doing, is the answer.
Yeah, we've heard a few clips of his intelligent talk radio.
Eyebrow, really. Two other funny things that have nothing to do with him, with that ass. Another guy who's no fan of ours, the guy John Minnelli, used to write for a New York newspaper.
Didn't he write for the Post, New York Post?
Yeah, really never liked us.
Yeah, never did. I said some horrible things about us.
He got the job at Free FM in New York and recently got fired. He was also at this great seminar.
Lots of our friends down there.
And his quote is, talk is the future of FM. Music is not the future of FM. And he also revealed, quote, since he's been released from Free FM New York, he's had a very productive meeting with four agents who are excited about the prospect of internet-only talk.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Did he say agents?
Yep.
Four of them. I'm sure those are high-power agents right there.
And then the only other thing is this guy, Michael Savage. I think East Coast Bob has crank-called him a couple of times.
He's a right-winger.
This is a guy that got in trouble a while ago for wishing AIDS on someone. Remember when he was on TV and the radio? His boss from Talk Radio Network, Michael Masters, was also speaking at this convention and said he wouldn't have a company without Michael Savage. He said, as a matter of fact, it was in the beginning, here it is, in the first days of syndication, for the first 3 months Michael Savage was on the air, this guy called every day, posing as a parade of callers to keep his phone banks alive.
So the guy that's running the company called Michael Savage to pretend that he was a listener?
Every day for 3 months. Did
that's dedication we've never seen. We've never had a suit do that for us.
Never.
Oh, my God. I don't know whether to be disgusted with Michael Savage or to be jealous that he had a boss that actually did that. Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah, hi, I'm disguising my voice, though.
There's a lot wrong with this. There's a lot wrong with the radio. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, my brother.
Hi, Tom. Hey! It's Thomas Aloysius Gavin.
Yeah, hey guys.
What's up, Tom?
Hey, guess what I did on Saturday?
I don't know. Have a solid bowel movement?
No.
Didn't think so. You didn't have one on Saturday?
I went to the Fairfax Fair.
That's great. Tom, I wish we all had time. We don't today. Call another day.
Why?
Because we're very, very busy.
We're very busy today, Tom.
Hey, I got a question.
Yes, Tommy.
What happened to Shill's apartment? Shill, the Big Dyke's apartment.
Tom, how do you know that anything happened to Cheryl the Big Dyke's apartment?
Joe told me.
Joe told you. Why would Joe tell you that?
I don't know.
Making conversation.
Yes.
The important thing, Tom, is that Cheryl's fine.
Yes, she's doing fine.
Good. She is?
Yes, she is fine.
There was an untimely fire in Cheryl the Big Dykes apartment recently. I was just wondering why.
We were all looking at each other. I thought we couldn't talk about that.
No.
I have no idea why we were reacting.
She thought it was okay.
Made me clam up. I didn't know. Everybody's looking at each other. Yeah, she's got a fire in her apartment. And, yeah. she's fine. And she's
all right,
she's
bye, doing Tom. Well. Bye, Tom. Hey, Joe.
Lost a lot of memorabilia, I guess.
Joe, yeah. What are you doing telling the retarded boy that?
Now he'll be scared of fire.
What Joe, you told him that there was a fire at Cheryl's house. Joe, tear yourself away from the video game.
I didn't tell him that. He figured it out on his own.
Did you lead him in that direction?
How could he figure it out? We've never mentioned that.
He might call her.
I don't know. He got it somewhere.
He might call her.
She
would give him the number, and then now just, warmed up to talking.
I know.
She would actually have given him her number, and he would probably call her.
I bet she would not.
You don't think so? Well,
I bet you would not.
Do you think Joe gave him?
Yes.
Joe's.
He meant homo Joe.
Why would Tom make that up? Tom's not that bright.
Why would I tell him that?
Because you're Joe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but I know I didn't tell him. He figured it out on his own. He told.
Well, I don't, Joe. I'm confused by that statement.
As he has with life.
Well, he meant.
He wouldn't even figured it out on his own.
Well, he called last week. So he calls every day.
That's nice.
You okay, Joe?
Peanut butter cups.
Sure.
Got in your sinuses.
And what video game is it that you're enjoying this afternoon?
I'm on the Sopranos website right now.
Oh, I got you. So anyway.
Anyway.
What about when he called last week?
Yeah, he called last week and mentioned something about it, and I said, well, we're not going to talk about it on the air, and he said, okay, and then he calls this week, and because he's retarded, he's forgotten what he said last week.
So he figured that somebody... I still don't get it.
I don't either.
All right, I don't get it either, but,
he ratted you out, Joe.
He's got his way.
Hold on.
He's
calling back.
Hey,
hi, Tom. King of the fair.
Dennis told me about it almost.
Murphy. Almost?
Why'd you say Joe told you?
Joe told me first, and then Murphy called me and told me.
Almost.
When did Joe tell you, Tom?
I think he told me on Friday.
What Joe? Day is today?
Joe?
Today's Monday.
Joe?
Yes.
What do you have to say to Tommy?
Tom, I don't know if I told you or not, but I know that you brought
up. Oh, wait a minute.
Joe. Joe, that's a non-denial.
Well, but what I'm saying is he brought it up, and I told him, well, we don't want to talk about that on the air, I don't think.
We didn't talk about it on the
air. You understand? We're simply talking about respecting someone's privacy in a matter that really I didn't think belonged. What's the relevancy of saying
exactly.
Cheryl had a fire
Tom, who
in her,
told you
all
first?
In her apartment.
Tom, where'd you... Who told you about Cheryl's apartment first?
Joe did.
Joe who?
Joe Arninger.
Okay.
And exactly what did he say to you?
He said, Joe had a fire in the apartment.
Why would I say that to you, Tom?
You said something about it.
I said something about it.
Yeah.
You sure you didn't
And then Dennis called me and say, I got something to tell you. Joe had a fire in the apartment. And then...
So hey. God, this is a retarded chain of checks network, isn't it, really?
This is fun. This is, I'm highly, I go from really being pissed off to a little mildly annoyed, and then it starts becoming really entertaining.
Tom, for what it's worth, I believe you.
What?
For what it's worth, I believe you.
I don't believe nobody else.
Good for you. No, Tom. Dom was giving you a compliment. He said he believes you.
Joe says he didn't tell you about the fire at Cheryl's house. I believe you that he did.
He did.
Right. That's why I believe you.
Yeah. And guess who I saw at the Fairfax Fair.
Who did you see at the Fairfax Fair?
I saw Matt, and I was passing out pictures of you all at the fair.
Oh, and by the way, Tom, congratulations. I heard you won second place in livestock.
What? What now? What is this about now? What?
Wow.
That was just
that
a
was
joke.
Rob, Tom.
That was just a joke.
He
loves jokes.
At this fair over the weekend, was Matt the Pollock there handing out our publicity pictures?
Yes, and I was there too.
Wait, hold on a second. Well, let's put Matt the Poll on.
Hey, Matt?
In Fairfax.
Matt?
Yeah.
Hi, buddy.
How's it going?
Well, what did you just say, Matt?
Was not in Fairfax.
You didn't see Tom this weekend?
Not at all.
Yes, you did, Matt.
Well, now, wait a minute, Tom.
You see, Matt has an alibi because he was at Gay Pride.
He was at Gay Pride.
I was being outed.
Tom, why are you lying?
I saw one of the guys from WJMK at the fair.
Oh, okay. You
was
saw somebody
guy?
Else. You
was it
mistaken.
Brian?
Brian. It was Brian.
Brian. Sure, it was Brian Piccolo.
Yeah, Brian Piccolo. I saw Brian at Fairfax Real on Saturday.
I love his song, incidentally.
Brian's song.
Brian,
beautiful. It's touching.
Brian is the promotions guy that looks like House, but House when he's in the Mouse movie.
So he's like a cleaned-up House?
Like a cleaned-up Hugh Laurie, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom?
Like a cleaned-up House.
Okay, Tom, we must say adieu.
No more sugar, Tom.
No more sugar.
Goodbye, Tom.
Dynamite, goodbye.
Bye!
Not yet. We didn't even get a chance to ask him if he had any funnel cake.
96 straight hours of funnel cake.
Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Lives on it.
Dynamite, please.
Yeah, we're here. Hello.
Yeah. Something that Joe said just a couple minutes ago, you could just put on an endless loop where he says, I don't think.
Thank you.
Well, that'd just be cruel.
And we don't do that on this show.
That's right.
We're not about cruelty on this show.
Hi there, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Yes, I was thinking that you might have...
You want to take that phone out of your waistband, please?
Come on back, good buddy.
Other end of the phone.
10-4.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike. What's up?
What a phone at the fair.
Yeah, it's two in a row.
What the hell is going on?
It's two in a row.
I like it when Buzz blames all of this on sunspots.
Sounds like sunspots, doesn't it?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Allergies.
Hello.
Hey. Hey, you guys. How's it going?
Oh, it's just going great.
Another brilliant caller from Sacramento. Hey, Mike, I got a tip for you. If you drink more than 4 cups of coffee a day, it reduces cirrhosis by 80%.
Really?
So I got a pot on right now.
Okay. All right. You know, I don't drink coffee, so maybe I should start.
I
think, though, cirrhosis, as far as I know, gets to the point of no return. And I believe I passed that in 1988.
I'm a tad bit younger than you, so I thought I'd try a little preventative measure.
Matter of fact, if I can tell you, Don, you know, I had that physical on Saturday morning. The doctor was nice enough to come
in. Right, this weekend, right.
Yep.
What happened with that?
Well, told me it was true.
What was true?
Well, he brought the all the blood work back, and he said, well, I alluded to this before. I don't want to shock the audience or anything, but the fact is I have...
Directed by Clay Aiken. I love that game.
I hope that idiot down in Miami isn't running a sweeper.
He's 40 WMEF. All right, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand. Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right. I don't know whether to laugh or vomit.
Just very average. Don and Mike.
Kind of the motto we live by. Listen, we got a lot of cram in here in the next hour or so of the show. We're going to talk to Ross Valerie, find out how the Sopranos thing has changed Journey's life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can put a call into that place where they had the ice cream, the onion rings last night.
Yes.
In New Jersey.
Holston's.
Yeah. Also, we've got the Gay Pride Parade today.
Oh, yeah.
Cheryl the Big Dyke and Matt Pollock went down there.
Yeah. Take me with you, Gay Pride Parade.
And in about an hour, the real Simon Cowell.
Wow.
And what they say is a 10-minute window.
Okay. 10 minutes to talk to Simon.
10 minutes for us to get on our knees.
Mm-hmm. And slurp.
And open our mouths.
Right.
And say, put it in.
Hope he's mean to us.
Put it in. Put in all of the bad things.
Shut up. I'm talking. Shut up.
Yes. But please.
Mm-hmm.
Ross Valerie.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Journey bassist.
And did I hear right? He's not even seen last night, Sopranos?
No, he's on the road. He's in a hotel with his wife.
Is he rocking?
He just took a shower.
But, I mean, is he rocking? Is he out rocking?
Ongoing.
Mm-hmm. His life. Is Journey touring?
I think not
must
yet.
Be.
There's only one way to rock, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
You only rock once.
Hey, Ross.
Yeah.
Don and Mike show. What's happening, dude?
Hey, how are you?
How are you, Ross Valerie?
Well, I'm doing really great. It's the Basinator in California.
Ross, did you see The Sopranos last night?
No, I did not. I did not, but boy, did we get some phone calls from everyone we knew about the big splash all over the networks about the ending and what happened and what didn't happen.
And then, you know, there it is, during the entire controversial end of one of the most popular shows in the history of television, and playing in the background is an anthem from your band.
You know, I can't be more happy. I'm sure everybody else in the band is very happy about this, too. I knew about it being used, the song being used for the series, but I had no idea when and how they were going to play it. It's really great.
So Rob told us you didn't see it last night. When you got up today or late last night, when did people start saying to you, you know, dude, your song was in the ending of the worst ending ever of any TV show?
Well, we got a million messages and checked in and talked to our friends, and apparently it's all over, you know, CNN, and, you know, it's making headlines. That's cool.
Now, Joe Ardinger told us, Ross, that that Don't Stop Believin' is one of your signature bass licks. Is that true?
It certainly is. But actually, you know, the secret behind these popular bass lines is in the compositions of Jonathan Cain.
Okay, so you're giving credit to the arranger, writer.
Definitely, because it's the unison part that's played with the piano, and he wrote a significant part of that song. And so I'm not writing the coattails, but I'm certainly getting to put my own feeling into a part that was written for me I really enjoy.
Have you seen the clip last night from the end of the show yet, where they were the Tony?
Well, I'm at this really fancy hotel on the California coast on a vacation with my wife, and unfortunately, in spite of what we're paying for this room, the internet sucks.
Oh, it does. So you haven't got a chance to see it.
I might even go to your website there. It came up for a second and then failed. So I can get a little email, and that's about it.
So you're vacationing now.
Vacationing, yeah. In fact, the entire band is vacationing for the first time in 8 or 9 years.
Wow.
You guys are going to be hot as balls with the fact that you're the last thing that anyone will remember, really, from an episode of a TV show. I think that, generally speaking, is pissing off everyone. I hope it doesn't ruin Journey. I hope people don't hold Journey responsible.
Journey has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I don't see that connection, but you never know. But we'll be back at it again next year. We're taking a vacation.
Are you a Sopranos fan, Ross, when you're at home?
No, I knew you were going to ask me that. The answer is I'm a major fan. The problem is, you guys, I can't walk into a room where there's a new movie playing unless I see it from the very beginning. If it's on, I won't even watch it. I have to watch things from beginning to end without interruption. And as regards to a series, I'm a Sopranos fan, but I'm about 2.5 years behind schedule.
Catch up. You know?
And when people go, oh, did you see the episode? I cover my ears and go, no, 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 no.
Really?
Go
to the internet and just do a Google search. Fans blame Journey.
Yes, that's right.
It's all over the internet.
You're responsible for the sucky ending of The Sopranos.
You know, I couldn't even get on Google, so I'm relying on people like you and our other friends to tell me what's going on.
There you go. Get out on the road as soon as you can and let the fans know it wasn't you that ended The Sopranos like that.
No, they just chose our music, and we're very happy about that.
And you're going to be touring with Journey this summer?
No, we're taking the entire year off.
Oh, you're taking the whole summer off. Yeah.
Well, you guys, we did two tours in a row, two major tours in 2000. Well, this last year we did we co-headlined with Def Leppard and went all over the place. For you. And then the year before that, we did our own 30-year anniversary tour, Generations Tour. So we did major markets.
So you're spending your hard-earned money and you're chilling out.
I'm spending it on a nice room with lousy internet. You know,
Joe, your good friend Joe wants to say hi.
Okay.
Joe? Hey, Ross.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. You know, I do get calls from you once in a while, Joe. It's usually in the middle of the night, and it's when you're drunk. And then when I call you back, you're too busy to talk to me, Joe.
You got to leave a message.
I'll leave a message. Joe, call me when you're sober, okay?
No, there it is. Hey, Ross, good talking to you, dude. Enjoy your holiday.
Well, I just one more thing, you guys, before you hang up on me.
Okay.
I do roll through town, and I do, Joe does know that I do try to get you guys to a show. You've yet to arrive. I want you to promise me that when we roll through in 2008 that you guys will come to a show. I'll protect you from people. I'll protect you, all right?
Count on it.
Count on it.
Please. All right, you guys.
Okay. Thanks, Ross.
Hi, Ross.
That's Ross Valerie from Journey.
So we had Ross Valerie on the phone, and he was telling us that we're invited to go to the next show.
Yeah.
You know, Journey, with all their great hits. And what he didn't know is that they could have Paris Hilton and Pam Anderson and Eva Longoria naked backstage at that show. And I doubt that either Mike or myself would.
I love this game.
Directed by Steve Perry.
That's a good one.
And since we're having Simon on the show today, that's kind of a neat thing because we've got, you know, that connection to Randy, who was the bass player for Journey. The only other one, right?
Right.
I mean, as far as the...
Raised on the radio.
Okay. All right.
You can't say that! Bush babies, what are you doing?
Hey, Robert, we cleared to call this guy?
We got to call him off the air. If you dial it, I'll get him in a second.
Yeah, all right, let's talk to Chris Carley, who owns Holstein's.
It's funny because they're cow. That's the only reason I'm laughing. Holstein's. He owns Angus's.
Brookdale Confectionery.
I had no idea it was a real place.
It is. It's in Bloomfield, New Jersey.
Is it, and it's kind of like an ice cream place where they serve burgers and stuff, right?
Yeah, and much like Journey, I hope that people don't hold this place responsible.
They should. No, there's no way they should. They have onion rings. They didn't. Now I'm going to say they didn't look at. Yes, they did. They looked delicious.
Let's say
we got this guy.
All right, here he is now from Holston's in Bloomfield, New Jersey. Here is Chris currently. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How's your business been today, my friend?
Business has been brisk today.
Yeah.
We've been kind of busy.
A little more traffic based on the episode last night?
Yeah, definitely more traffic. Definitely.
Have you found, we just spoke to Ross Valerie from the band Journey, and he said that the ending of The Sopranos has not affected Journey. Has the ending last night affected your business yet?
Yeah, it has. It's definitely picked up. We've had... tons of phone calls and tons of media here today, and really been busy.
I meant the opposite way. Are there people that are mad?
Oh, no, not at all.
Mad at Holston's?
They're not mad at you?
They don't blame you? They're not mad at us. We've gotten nothing but good wishes.
Now, tell me about your joint. What are you serving there? You serve, like, it's kind of an ice cream place?
Yeah, it's basically an old-fashioned ice cream parlor and candy store, and we serve some food, a limited menu. And, you know, we've been here since 1939, and it's been a great little store. It's very nostalgic.
How are your onion rings?
The onion rings, I think, are good. Tony thinks they're great.
Tony loves them. And during, you know, based on that part of Jersey that you're in, do you ever have any, or, you know, since you've been there, did you ever have any real wise guys walk in there that you were maybe kind of saying, hey, that guy looks like he's connected?
I'm sure there have been. There's been a few guys that looked the part. You know, we get them from Nutley and Newark and, you know, so forth and so on. But, yeah. Nobody that I know for a fact, no.
Thank you for not saying whatnot.
Okay.
All right, dude, and I'm sure you're going to say the right thing because your show was in the episode, but what did you think of the ending?
At first I was disappointed, but then the more I thought about it, it sort of left it open for a movie or something else to come down the line. I was kind of happy.
Hey, Chris, what if your joint hadn't been so prominently featured?
Oh, I'd just be sitting here doing my normal business.
All right. Well, we kind of, you know, just take it from us, we kind of wish there was a bloody mess all over your joint at the end of the show last night. We were just kind of hoping for that.
Yeah, a lot of people were hoping Tony got shot.
All right. Or Carm.
Yeah. Just the family, maybe. Just AJ, Carm, and Meadow, you know.
Oh, that's all.
Right there in your booth. Okay, well, thanks for your time, Chris.
No problem, guys.
All right, dude. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Busy, busy man.
Uh-huh.
Fielding a lot of phone calls today.
I saw a guy on TV yesterday, the guy that owns that place, Pizza Land.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, the one that they go by in the credits all the time.
That guy said they had shipped out on Saturday, I think, something like 300 pizzas.
Isn't that amazing, the power of a television
people around
show?
The country that were having their Sopranos party.
It's the magic box, the power of the magic. You know what I'd like to get? I'd like to get like one of those Italian subs from Satriales.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Satriales or Satriales?
I think it's Satriales.
Man, because you know how the agent will always come in for a chicken farm?
Mm-hmm. Gabagool, provolone, peppers and vinegar.
And that agent, he was banging another agent at the end.
Yeah, that's right.
And he would Gabagool. Not... Tony would not have gotten Phil if not for that agent, right?
Exactly. Right, yeah. The federal agent is the one. And the interesting reaction that he had when he said, oh, we got him now, was to indicate that since he was whacked, he kind of knew Tony was going to whack him, and now he had him. Now he really had him. I don't know. It's another one of those.
That was another thing that didn't really sort of fit in, did it?
It was, and it was that woman... The woman, cop that he was banging in, like, a motel room, was that supposed to be, like, not his wife?
She was an agent because she had a badge.
Yeah. She had a badge, and he was talking to his wife on the phone at one point.
Here's the thing. If I had not been an idiot and changed the channel, I would have gone back to look. I'm sure not, but for a moment, I thought she might have been the agent that worked with Adriana.
Oh, yeah, that far back.
I'm sure I'm wrong about that.
I think so. She was younger, I think, than the agent that worked with Adriana.
I got the impression that he banged the other agent to get the information about Phil.
Yes, I felt the same way, that was maybe somebody
because
from the Brooklyn office.
She rolled her eyes the minute he gave the info out.
Yeah, yeah.
He was, like, transparent about it.
But, I mean, was he good-looking enough where he would be able, like, to seduce an agent to get that?
You picture him with hair? Sure.
He's hot as balls, Mike.
Yeah, hot as criminal balls.
You know.
Hot as FBI balls. Hey, Dynamike, hello.
Dynamike, celebrity sighting for you.
Only if you mentioned our name. Who was it?
I was.
Who was.
And Hank's look around. And then the door opens. And then...
Now everybody's doing that, Joe.
Everybody wants to play.
Everybody's doing it, and it's not funny anymore.
Just kind of an abbreviated version.
Yeah, we can get away with that.
Anyway... all the gays were in town this weekend, Mike.
Yay!
Every gay in the world was in D.C. this weekend.
We love the gays.
For the Gay Pride Parade.
Mm-hmm.
Gay.
Yep. And as you know, Matt, the Polish intern, is gay.
Yes, he is.
As is Cheryl, the big dyke.
Fully out of the closet.
So we sent them both down there with a tape recorder with giant phallic microphones.
Uh-huh.
And we'll hear what happened with the gays when we come right
back. Fantastic.
See you right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend, I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Gay, but not too gay.
Gay. Yummy, 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 yummy.
On their backs and covered in baby oil. Here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Like your song choice here.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I've got love in my tummy.
I had a lovely TV evening last night. I wasn't watching The Sopranos.
It's like that old Rod Stewart story. About why they had to pump his stomach.
I was watching the Tonys.
Super.
Congratulations to all the big winners last night.
Well, we love all people, including gay people.
Absolutely.
And we have a lot of gay friends, and one of them is Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then there is Matt the Pollock, our brand new intern.
Yeah.
And we all think he's gay.
That's right.
I know it.
You know it for a fact, Rob?
Well, I kissed him, and he seemed to laugh.
So they had the big gay pride parade in D.C. over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think either for the fifth or sixth straight year, Cheryl the Big Dyke was out with the microphone. And here now, without further ado, Cheryl and...
gay, but not too gay.
All right, Matt the Pollock.
Matt the Pole here for the Don and Mike Show and Cheryl the Big Dyke here at the Gay Pride Parade. Just starting off here.
This is also Matt the Pollock's first big intern trip outside.
front desk.
This is his first big thing on microphone. Debut.
And we didn't write him on all of our usual fantastic, funny jokes.
No, he's on his own. And, well, you heard that intro. He wrote it himself.
Cop in D.C. throwing out candy.
The head gay cop of D.C.
Right.
Sounds like a parade's going on.
I guess not a lot of talking.
Just lots of sucking.
That sounds like a police motorcycle.
Sucking face, I mean.
Of course.
You know, gay love.
Sounds festive.
Maybe we should have written him a script.
Perhaps. Or told him to hand the microphone to Cheryl.
Ow.
That's what it sounded like. I guess this sounds like a lot of motorcycles going by.
That was a good take.
Here's the next cut.
Oh, there's more?
That was cut one?
Yep.
I went ahead and ordered Chuck for the tape.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling.
Here's Matt and Cheryl.
Cheryl's parallel parking.
They're just about to go into the diner.
Don't stop.
And there they are, all the gay people left.
Brought to you,
directed by John Waters.
Brought to you by, but directed by. All right, here's the next cut. Dykes on bikes, make some noise.
I am Cheryl the Big Dyke on the Don and Mike Show. I didn't know if you knew that. And this is Matt from the Don and Mike Show. He's there.
Hello.
Straight Matt, who I'm going to try to fix up with a guy today. Anyway, we want to get some Dykes on bike sounds. Someone want to rev it for us?
Good, there we go. Thank you, Cheryl.
Very nice, very nice.
That's the Dykes on Bikes.
Dykes on Bikes has officially started.
Nice commentary from Matt the Pole on.
Yes, oh dear.
That wasn't a motorcycle, it was a vibrator.
Was Cheryl talking to a dyke on a bike?
Yes.
Yes,
okay.
And Matt's comment was, very nice.
Very nice.
Okay, this says, Matt's questionnaire.
Oh dear.
Hi, Matt DePaul from the Don and Mike Show. Can I ask you a few questions for CBS Radio tape for broadcast?
Sure.
All right. How gay are you?
Oh, I'm very openly gay. Not only at Pride, but every day.
Oh, boy.
But every single day.
Uh-huh.
If the new Surgeon General develops a pill that will cure gayness, would you take it?
No, I'd shoot him.
What if it was a suppository?
I take it.
Happy Pride.
Very nice. Thank you very much, guys.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Did he write these gags himself?
Did Matt DePaul write these gags?
I don't know. Who wrote them?
It's a tremendous initiative if he did.
Anybody help him out?
No.
It's pretty good stuff.
But I know.
Going the extra mile.
The next one says, a transgender woman. Whoa. He's a gay ninja.
A transgender woman. Okay.
You know what, how it's been so far?
Hi, you're a dear friend of mine,
yes.
and you're beautiful, a man, woman, can't figure it out. Tell me what you're all about and your name and how your day's going.
My name is Ro. I'm a transgender woman, and
so yeah, already, this is better than The Sopranos was last night.
I couldn't agree more.
We've already gotten more out of this than we did out of that whole episode last night.
And I'm trying to figure, transgender woman, this is woman who was a man, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to, or maybe in
man, transgender. Sounds like
transgender woman would be a woman who was a man.
A man who used to be a woman who used to be a man.
Exactly.
Even Cheryl can't tell.
I've been having a fabulously queer day. I started out with the Radical Cheerleaders. We had matching lavender outfits, lavender tops, and black mini skirts and pumps.
Sounds like something's in his mouth. Her mouth.
Oh dear.
I mean, is she eating something? No doubt. Just wondered.
Pumps made out of garbage bags. And we were shouting so many wonderful, fabulously clear cheers during the Dyke March.
Fags are so funny. Fags who are willing to laugh at themselves.
Yes,
are
absolutely.
So freaking funny.
And we have a great gay pride parade in this town. Yeah. These tapes are always fantastic.
It was incredible. And then I hung out with some trans friends, and there is a. We had lunch with the.
This has to be a man trying to become
yes,
a woman.
Yes, no, no doubt.
I think Asian lesbians, they have an association, and now I'm back with the Radical Fairies.
Are you listening to the sounds in the background?
What I love is all these organizations he's talking about, Dykes on Bikes and the Asians that have an organization.
And I'm focusing in the background, so they're like,
this is great.
And a contingent of us are ninjas. Ninjas.
Yes, we are.
Is there a big gay community in the ninjas?
Well, there is now.
Excellent, excellent. Let me ask you a few questions here.
Yes.
Okay, first of all, how gay are you?
I am pretty damn gay since I'm a lesbian.
Okay. What is the gayest thing that...
Okay, yeah. So this is a man who turned himself into a woman who likes women. That's cheating.
That has been documented.
Really doesn't... Seems like a lot of unnecessary steps to make.
Sure does.
What has ever happened to you?
Not that would be really hard to figure out, because something gay happens to me every day. The gayest thing that's ever happened to me, I would say, about 10 years ago... In Africa, when I was a Peace Corps volunteer, and I...
This is fantastic. Represent!
I just think, well, I was a Peace Corps volunteer.
In Africa as a Peace Corps volunteer.
Can you picture that? Got you! You in the hut!
Come here, I want to vaccinate you.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
You know, I picture the remote village and their only contact with an American. And
hi, it's me.
You know, the confusion after he leaves.
Dr. Giggle.
After he or she leaves the village.
What's the African word for flamboyant? I've had the pleasure of hearing these tapes in their entirety, and I think one thing also you need to focus on is Matt is having a hell of a time.
Oh, good.
Really enjoying himself.
Wonderful.
Maybe a bit much.
That's what it's all about.
Isn't it?
Yeah, one of the kids later says, check out Matt laughing. Huh. He's having the time of his life.
Good.
It was escorting a new volunteer around his site. A guy at a TV store started chasing me all over town because he decided I was beautiful and wanted to marry me. And so a man was chasing me all around this African city as within 10 minutes of my arriving there. So he saw me watching drag queens on his TV monitor. That was about the gayest thing that's ever happened to me.
Like a gay magnet. All right. What celebrities do you think might be gay?
Aren't they all?
What is the least accurate stereotype and most accurate stereotype about gay people?
The man? Yes,
hey, boy.
Are these off the top of your head? Did you put pen to paper with these?
I put a little pen to paper.
Is this your own effort?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Interesting. That's good. Good initiative.
They don't totally suck.
They don't totally suck.
Partially.
Did you have a good time?
I had a fabulous time.
Did you reevaluate anything when you were down there? Fabulous.
What was that?
I do like that. Was that a little of his laugh, Rob? That kind of...
Yeah.
Did you reevaluate your lifestyle, Matt, at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
Did you get hit on, boy?
A few times. I got groped once.
All right.
You have a girlfriend, son?
No.
All right.
This ain't helping.
Did you wear underpants, boy?
Yeah.
Mr. Geronimo asked you a direct question,
yes,
Matt.
Yes, sir. I wore underpants the entire time.
Did you wear a condom, boy?
No.
Did you shower afterwards?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
Did you come home with the stinky pinky, son?
Did you? Still
having fun. That stink don't wash off, Don.
That stink don't wash off.
Right. That's funny.
Oh, dear. Don't get happy.
Why are you so Polish?
Did you meet any Polish gay people?
You know, I didn't bother to ask. Didn't think of it.
All right.
You know about Polish gay people, they date the opposite sex.
Good one.
That was a race to get to that one.
The least accurate stereotype is that... If you're a butch, if you're a masculine woman, that you're a lesbian, and if you're a feminine man, that you're gay, that is not always accurate. Because a feminine man might be a lesbian, and a masculine woman might be a gay man.
Right.
It's very tricky. And do you have any advice for straight people?
You know, that was quite an explanation that he just gave. Uh-huh. Did you get that? I listened to that rather carefully, and that'll curl your hair.
Have a really good time at all times. Life is short, and we must be fabulous whenever possible.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Spoken like a true hero. Thank you very much.
It must be fabulous.
Gay, but not too gay.
So far, I love this Gay Pride Parade.
Yeah. Continue our coverage of the annual Gay Pride Parade when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We're here. We're queer.
We're not going skiing.
We're here. We're queer.
We're not going skiing.
We're here. We're queer.
We're not going skiing.
Yes.
We're here. We're queer. We're Irish. Get used to it. We're here. We're queer.
We're queer. We're Irish. Get close to it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Again.
Gay.
Isn't that a queer thing, huh?
Hey, hey! Ho, ho! Homophobia is got to go! Hey, hey! Ho, ho! Homophobia is got to go! Hey, hey! Ho, ho! Homophobia
is got to go! Hey, hey!
Ho, ho!
God damn it.
Yes.
The Don and Mike Show.
I may be a bitch, but I'll never be a butch.
Oh, we're only getting into the just the early parts of the Gay Pride Parade with Matt the Pollock and Cheryl the Big Dyke.
We are just in the get-go stages.
There are so many great cuts here.
Yeah.
I promise we'll pick this up tomorrow, because as I mentioned, we have Simon Cowell coming up in a second.
Right.
And then on to the Buzz News Hour.
So many great cuts and so many great busts.
Let's see, we're up to the Three Musketeers of Gays. This was taped June 9th here in D.C. this last weekend. Cheryl the Big Dyke and our intern, Matt the Pollock.
Very good.
Yeah. All right, guys. Hey, guys. Matt the Pollock and Cheryl the Big Dyke from the Don and Mike Show. You guys mind being on CBS Radio?
No, that's awesome. Tell us how gay you are.
Well, he's very gay. He's semi-gay, and I'm just not gay.
Just not really.
Nobody spots me in the group. They're like, oh, that's a straight one. I'm like,
no.
Like the Three Musketeer of Gays.
Right. He lost about a few pounds.
Yeah.
About
looking sexy.
Yeah. It is sexy, isn't it?
Now, see, there's your example that Cheryl could definitely go to the other team.
Okay.
You know, she's talking about guys like that. Yeah. She, I've always thought, and you've always believed in your heart.
She has always, well, I've always lived under the fantasy that if I ever offered it,
She'd take it.
She'd want to ride on a baloney pony.
I believe you. Mm-hmm. I think she would. Absolutely. Right. She just seems to be...
I think she'd screw you, too.
I think she would. I think she's got a good, healthy appreciation for both teams.
I think she'd bone Buzz.
I'd never come out alive.
Mm-hmm. Do you think she'd bone Rob A?
I don't.
I'm afraid not.
No. You look at him,
no.
Look at him sitting in the corner.
I'm afraid no. Maybe it's the shirt he's wearing today. It's just toned down. He's a toned down Rob. If Rob was wearing his flamboyant Hawaiian shirt.
One of his gay Hawaiian shirts,
yeah. But today he's just a very, very conservative Rob.
You should ask her. I think she'd say yes.
What's that? She might choose you first.
That's true. She always said I'd make a great lesbian.
And you could share the harness.
No, he didn't.
If it wasn't lost in the fire.
Fire. Hey, we were not going to talk about
that's
that.
Right. I'm sorry. Nothing funny about that.
Do you have a large...
Such a dirty birdie.
Back that up a little bit, though. She's asking some guy about his thing.
Yeah, it is sexy, isn't it?
Wow.
That's a gay laugh.
It's humongous. How do you know? I don't know.
I take it he's the pitcher, you're the catcher?
Oh, that was real serious.
Whoa. Come on. Matt the Pole, methinks the lad is getting a little excited.
He has an enthusiasm in his voice there, didn't he?
Does that mean he's the catcher?
He's offending them.
You know, he takes it from me all night long.
He's versatile.
No, he said it was very stereotypical.
But it's true.
Boy, I'm just picturing in a second tongues intertwine and everybody's just like a bunch of baby snakes.
What is the most accurate and the least accurate stereotypes about gay people?
Oh. Does he not sound like he's on the field of the Super Bowl going, Coach Dungy, you're down 14 at the half. What do you think?
Good questions, you little Jim Rome wannabe.
Oh, yeah, it's like a real question.
No, it's not fun.
I love shopping, that's true.
I don't know that all gay guys like to dress up in drag, but come Halloween, we all do anyway.
I thought that was a chick.
I did too. It's a man, baby.
It's a man, baby. Prove that point.
Okay.
What is the gayest thing you guys have seen today?
God, the whole damn parade.
Yeah, Jesus, that was
man, so have you watched it?
No, very gay. The gay priest.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. Yeah, that was really
awesome.
Cool.
The gay priest in there going, that was awful.
Awesome.
That was awesome.
Having a fantastic time.
Fabulous.
I like, what celebrities do you think might be gay?
What about celebrities that want to be gay? Oh, God, all of them are beautiful.
I've heard rumor that Vin Diesel is gay.
Oh, I think that's true.
From an almost pretty reliable source.
So you got my vote. Okay. He could have been on that leather.
I believe Matt is joining the team. I'm just firmly believing that Matt wants to play.
It's hard now to pick Matt's voice out from the other.
It is.
Overtly gay man.
He's gone from his standard tongue-in-cheek, so to speak, interview questions to plenty of ad-libs to downright... Thank you.
Is there a leader for the gay movement? And if so, who?
No, everybody kind of sucks. I mean, there's
not a gay joke. No, but it could be.
How about the gay laugh?
Listen to Matt. Listen to Matt taking charge.
And taking control.
Tee-hee.
Wow. I think they like him.
They don't suck in the right way. No, I mean, you had the Hillary campaign rock by, and I'm not quite sure why gays like Hillary. She never said that she was for gay rights or equal rights whatsoever. She avoids the question like the plague. So...
No, I don't think there is.
Meanwhile, Matt's just staring at this guy's crotch while he's talking about Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely.
Strong gay leader out there right now leading the movement.
If the new Surgeon General were to develop a pill that would cure gayness, would you take it?
No. Has anybody seen X-Men 3? Like, honestly.
What if it was a suppository?
Well, then maybe. If there was, if there was an antidote. to the antidote.
Wait, the antidote is gay.
Any advice for straight people?
We're not going to hurt you. It's okay.
I like the music.
Thanks
for
letting us talk. That was
PC. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any advice for straight people?
We're not going to hurt you. We don't bite.
Just don't get your gay cooties all over everything.
We don't bite. Don't hurt me.
All right. This one says, a nice old queen.
Oh, all right. Very good.
I'm Matt DePaul from the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to be on CBS Radio?
This again is at the Gay Pride Parade in D.C. on Saturday.
Love it. Excellent. Is this your first Gay Pride Parade?
Not hardly.
That's a big fag. He's been to every one of them.
I've been gay too long. This isn't my first anything.
How gay are you?
How gay am I? On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm like, 70.
What is the gayest thing you've seen today?
The gayest thing I've seen today is all the men here who have no desire to sleep with me.
Pitcher or catcher?
I am a pitcher, but it's been so long that I'm willing to do anything.
What celebrities do you think might be gay?
Just the typical ones, Richard Gere and... You know, George Bush, you know, just the people everybody talks about.
What is the least accurate and most accurate stereotype about gay people?
The most accurate stereotype is that they have wonderful taste, except for me. And the least accurate stereotype is that they're very free with their sexuality. Because if that was the case, I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
If the new Surgeon General were to develop a pill that would cure gayness, would you take it?
That's a dumb question, Matt. You can ask some gay guy who's out on the street wearing a Carmen Miranda banana hat if he wants to take a pill so he's not gay.
Why do I think Matt, the morning of the Gay Pride Parade, came up to Cheryl and said, listen, Cheryl, here's the deal. Don and Mike specifically said they wanted me to do most of the talking. You stay out of this.
Normally, Cheryl...
does the coverage.
Cheryl has got what I like to call Rob Spiewak disease.
Yeah, well, and Cheryl is also in the life. And it actually, right. You know, I'd be curious to see if Cheryl gets to talk or whether Matt has gagged her today.
Normally, she talks so much.
She does. She has diarrhea of the mouth.
She's like, Rob, she's never met a microphone that she doesn't just want to put all the way in her mouth. Just deep throw that microphone.
Go for it.
I'd buy them all up and destroy them. I mean, I'd see could we reverse it and make everybody gay.
What if it was a suppository?
It's not fun. Pills are too small.
Oh, dear.
God, queens are funny, aren't they?
Dear me.
Great.
Do you have any advice for straight people?
Remember that nobody chooses their sexuality. You didn't choose yours, we didn't choose ours, but we love it.
We love it.
That's an old queen. That's what it says on the tape.
All right, the Next one says, what the hell is a suppository?
Is this your first gay pride parade?
Yes.
Are you gay?
Yes.
How gay are you?
I wouldn't say gay. I'm not like super gay, but I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud to be a lesbian. Yes, I am.
What's the gayest thing you've seen today?
The gayest thing I've said today?
Seen.
A lot of drag queens, trannies, and no shirts on, a lot of big breasts. And they, you know, just the gayest thing. Oh, cowboys. Cowboy dance. Yeah, that was pretty gay. Yeah, that was pretty gay, but it was sexy. That was what they had.
What can you tell me about scissoring?
Scissoring?
I don't know. He's just throwing that one in now about scissoring.
Scissoring?
You sure do know an awful lot about the life, Matt.
Boy, Matt seems very enthusiastic. He doesn't have a girlfriend. We asked that.
Isn't that right, Blue Boy? It's your new nickname now.
Blue Boy. Blue Boy. Blue Boy.
Blue Boy.
Absolutely.
If the new Surgeon General came out with a pill that cured gayness, would you take it?
Hell no.
What if it was a suppository?
What the hell is a suppository? English? No.
Any advice for straight people?
We're the same as you. I mean, don't play, because I'll still knock you out. I don't care if you're gay or straight. I'm saying.
See, gay people can be just as annoying as straight people.
Amen. And you can't tell about the suppositories unless you've seen your administration.
let's hear one more.
All right.
This one simply says, Matt having the time of his life.
Oh, good.
Very good. I can't wait. Then tomorrow we'll get to hear glittering queer,
mm-hmm,
man in pigtails, 80-year-old gay man.
Oh, wow. Hello.
Sex with the gym teacher, Matt, still having a blast.
Matt having fun.
Cougar lesbians. A message for Donna Mike from a gay man.
Oh, good.
A drag queen in a Secret Service outfit.
Wow.
Anyway, we'll check this out today. We'll leave you today with Matt laughing, having the time of his gay life.
All right.
Coming up is the Lesbian and Gay Big Apple Corps marching band from New York.
They're so rainbowy, and the way they sashay. Look at them sashaying with their flags. You almost want to call them flaggots.
I like that.
Where's his lab? Is his lab
after flaggots?
Right? Oh, after flaggots. Okay. Hold on.
Okay. Coming up is the Lesbian and Gay Big Apple Corps.
All right, so we should not laugh at Cheryl's joke so we can hear Matt's gay laugh.
Very good.
They're so rainbowy. And the way they sashay. Look at them sashaying with their flags. You almost want to call them flaggots.
He's just I wonder if he had any funnel cakes. I wonder if he had any of Cheryl's funnel cakes.
You order a funnel cake at Gay Pride, you don't get something fried.
Hell no, we won't go. Hell no, we won't go. Hell no, we won't go. Hell no, we won't go.
Okay, stop it. Stop it, Gay.
They're very, very angry.
Stop it. I promise we'll come back to this tomorrow.
Oh, good.
We'll devote lots of gay time tomorrow's show. Man, pigtails, Frenchie, three flamers, proud to be catching. Sex with a gym teacher.
Excellent.
All of this on the list of stuff for tomorrow.
And then perhaps tomorrow also a little more questions for Matt.
The Inquisition, Mike.
For Blue Boy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is his new name.
The great Simon Cowell, and we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes. What are they called? Bush baby.
Oh, you are sexy.
The bush babies. What are you doing?
The Don and Mike Show.
What are you doing?
It's the BME Award winning Don and Mike Show.
All right, I'm very nervous now. We have the great Simon Cowell on one of these lines. I could give him a prostate exam. I think he's so great. Two things from the BBC that I believe that I discovered before anybody else. In America. Thanks to my friend Sarah and Gary,
right.
my old neighbors. First was Ricky Gervais.
Gervais.
And the other thing was, like 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when Sarah said to me there's a show, Pop Idol, Pop Star,
mm-hmm,
and then the show called The X Factor,
right,
with this guy Simon Cowell, and when American Idol came on, I remember saying, oh, Sarah had sent me a tape of this guy, and thank God the act, not the act, well, it's the real guy,
right,
he is exactly on British TV as he is on American TV.
Good.
And we just love him. We love him. We love him. We love him.
Everybody loves him.
Simon Cowell.
Hello.
Simon. Simon
Cowell. How are you? Cool.
We appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, Simon. This
Thank
is a delight. This is a treat.
Simon, like most people, we're huge fans. First, I have to ask you something. Do you think you can hear a hit record? I know it's a weird first question, but because of your background in music and because of your role in music, I'm wondering, like, at the end of American Idol, when they have those the last song that they sing today, that they put out as the single, generally seems to be not the best, most commercial song. Do you, Simon Cowell, think that when you hear a song on the radio right away, you can tell if it's a hit?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the public know at the same time as me. I mean, you know, your listeners decide what they like and therefore what they buy. I mean, that's the position you've got to put yourself in. You've got to put yourself there as a member of the public.
That's right.
I chose one of the songs, which was the very first one we did for Kelly Clarkson, Moment Like This, because I had that song, you know, I commissioned it. I got a couple of my writers to write it. But that was the only time I ever got involved.
Because it seems to me from watching the show, I've been in music radio about 35 years and doing talk now with my buddy Mike, who's here, and I'm going to try not to monopolize everything.
No, you're excited. You go ahead. You have fun.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Simon.
It seems to me, Simon, that you've got what in the radio business we call the golden ear, that you seem to know, and I figured this out when I saw tapes before you were on in America of your shows in Britain. What an amazing touch it is that you have for finding what is commercially successful, what an amazing touch it is you have for speaking your mind and at the same time having a bit of decorum about you. I salute you. You're a jerk in a wonderful, lovable package.
I love that.
I just wanted to interject here. We interview a lot of people, not a tremendous amount of people. I've got a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old. I have never in my entire career, and Don and I have been doing this together for over 20 years, I've never seen them more excited, and they actually have never done this to me about anybody, to say, oh, Dad, you're going to have Simon on the show. Please, please tell him that he's our favorite. So there, I've done that for him.
Hello. What are their names?
Catherine and Elizabeth.
Catherine and Elizabeth, I have to say, you have fantastically good taste.
Oh, God, that's
great. And I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow. Can I ask you a question about process as far as when you're actually doing the show? I would imagine that, and this is taking nothing away from Randy and Paula on the show as far as the, you know, their contributions, but I would imagine they can show up and, you know, go on set and be pretty well ready to go. But with you, you're the anchor. You've got to have the witty aside, especially if something's not going that well. As far as your process goes, do you hear things? Do you file away snappy things to say, insults? Do people send you insults? Do you wing it? What's the process? I mean, do you do a lot of prep before you're going to go on that show?
Well, interesting. That's a good question. You've actually got to do the opposite, funny enough, which is you've absolutely got to react to the moment because you genuinely don't know what's going to happen. And I think that when you make a reality show, and it's an awkward situation for me because you can end up producing yourself, which I think is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to treat it as if it is real, that there is certainly no preparation, and that we genuinely don't really know what's going to happen on any show, really. And that way, I think you get a more honest reaction to what's happening compared to other shows. There are other shows on TV at the moment where there's one person who's on it who also writes and directs and produces it, which is insane because that's not reality TV. You've got to make it real.
Simon,
sometimes I will say, I genuinely don't know what to say to that.
You are such a great broadcaster, and I do love that on the moments when, like on the live results show, when they come to you and you just hold your hands up in the air and say, I saw what everybody else saw.
Mm-hmm.
What incredible balls and what panache you have. I mean, you're right. It's live. It's on the edge. You say what's on your mind.
You make a reference to the fact that you go back and you review, you know, it sounded better. I'm going to go listen to the tape. I mean, do you do that? Is that a process you go through with every show?
Yeah, sometimes I will, yeah. I'll watch the show back that night because, you know, when I'm actually in the live studio, it's loud.
Right.
and everything sounds fantastic. The audience is going nuts. And then you watch it back on a very small, you know, TV, you know, with a small speaker, and it does sound completely different. It sounds much worse on the TV than it does in there. So I like to hear what everyone else heard.
I don't want to rush, because we do want to talk about America's Got Talent, and we appreciate your time. Just two more quick things about American Idol. A lot of times I notice you looking away from the stage, looking down, and that's why I asked you about, like, listening to a hit song. A lot of times, maybe I'm reading too much into it, I picture you, when I watch you on the show, Simon, actually taking yourself away from it, saying, how does this sound? Do you ever do that? Do you distance yourself when you're listening to these kids sing from...
Yeah, I try to. I mean, mostly, you know, when I'm editing shows or being on the shows, I try and do it as if I was a member of the public, because the best way, I think, of knowing if your shows are any good or if your songs are any good is that you base everything on your taste. Would I like it?
Right.
If you start guessing what other people are going to like, you will get it wrong, because it's impossible to guess other people's taste. You have to base everything on your taste. But I try and do that where I can, yeah.
The last thing I wanted to ask you was, how come we didn't get to see more of your mom? I think some cow actress stood up right when your mom was being introduced on TV, and we didn't get a chance to see your mom.
She got a bit overshadowed, I think, that night. She's shy, I think, my mom a bit. So she was, I think she was embarrassed.
As far as the process of this year's show, I you know, when you watch a show, and so many of us do, where there's a lot of emotion that goes into it, watching it, you put a lot of yourself into it. That's one of the things, I think, that makes the show a success. Obviously, with Melinda Doolittle, who I really thought arguably one of the best singers that you've ever had on American Idol,
yeah.
And a lot of people frustrated and disappointed, and I think the show ended well, but when you have a particular person that you say, this person's got what it takes, you've had a lot of nice things to say about Melinda, do you get frustrated as well? Because obviously you can't come out and completely diss the results, because it is what the American people are voting on.
Well, it's a good point. I mean, you know, if you put the show in the audience's hands, which we decided to do,
right.
You can't sulk when it doesn't go your way, because that's just the way it is. I had a hunch on that semi-final, knowing that we have a very young audience, mm-hmm. and that they were much younger, Blake and Jordan, that they would probably make it through to the finals. But I just wanted Melinda to have as much respect for me that night as I could give her, just to say to the audience, she probably won't make it, but do remember that she is the best singer.
Right.
And that's what I was trying to do, really.
And you know what else you do is so great? Even Haley, you know, just called her out for what it is. Hey, you've got two great legs, and you've got a really nice set of, you know, things on your chest. Good going.
Exactly. No, she was insulted, but I said to her afterwards, it was actually a compliment.
Sure.
Truth. No one is going to remember you for having a great voice, but you do have fantastic legs.
Simon, before we talk about your other shows, about American Inventor and America's Got Talent, I did want to ask you, how are you perceived in Britain? I mentioned that I had watched tapes of you with some British friends before you came over here. I know people have grown to love you. What about in Britain? Because you are the same.
Is it as crazy over there?
Well, I mean, I'm well known. I think, to answer your question, I like the shows I make to be popular. And I think more about the shows, interestingly, than I do about the way people feel about me. And I think that's probably the right way of approaching it.
Well, but Simon, you know deep in your heart of hearts that, at least on American Idol, I can't speak for your other projects, but on American Idol, if there is no Simon Cowell, there is no American Idol. Really, dude.
Well, that's kind of you to say.
Well, it's simply the truth.
It would be a different show now, I agree with you. But the very first year I went to America, I went on the message boards, you know, which they have on the site.
Yeah.
And I would advise anyone never to do that again.
That's a little scary, isn't it?
It's a little negative. But you kind of just got to go, look, some people will like you, some people will hate you. As long as you think, when you're watching the show back, that you called it right, I don't care. I genuinely don't care what people think about me, other than that what I'm saying is correct. And it's never going to make you the most popular person.
All right, Simon, let's thank you for indulging us about American Idol. Let's talk about your other shows, about America's Got Talent. You're one that's on Wednesday night at 9, 8 Central on ABC, American Inventor. What about these shows?
They both launched last week, and America's Got Talent, I think, is currently the number one show in the States at the moment. It's doing really well. This actually, funny enough, is now our most popular format around the world. This show's now in 40 countries.
Wow.
Very, very popular show, because it's a bit broader than Idol. There's no rules, no age limit. If you think your talent is worth $1 million, you can turn up for this show, and it is becoming more and more popular.
An American inventor will give us an opportunity to see people that are trying to create things that will have an impact on people's lives, and you think that show is going to be a hit as well?
Yeah, I mean, it opened with very big numbers. It's the same principle as Idol or Talent, which is you're trying to give people a break. Unfortunately, most of the people who turn up are totally useless. But you got to show that process, haven't you?
Yes, you do. And Simon, I heard you say somewhere that you thought maybe 3 more years of American Idol. Okay, can you see yourself? You see the show still going at its current speed, or could you see yourself walking away in 3 years?
I have to walk away in 3 years because there's literally so many hours in the day, and you know we produce 12, 15 shows a year now, as well as my record label, and I'm on 2 shows in the UK. It's too much, and I think after 3 years, that would have been 9 or 10 seasons. You've got to call it a day, but I'll look back on it and go, it was just the best time of my life.
You are a smart man, Simon, and
we really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
We really do.
Well, very nice guys. I really appreciate you taking the time as well.
Thank you for your time, Simon.
No, thank you.
Nice meeting you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Likewise. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Who would have thought we would get along with Simon Cowell?
That was great.
Hi, everybody.
Everybody. Peas in a pod. You know, we like the fact that he calls him like he sees him.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And, you know, that's what I've heard about him. When you get him out of that arena, when he does something like this, he is an actually nice guy to talk to. Very nice guy.
His girlfriend is hot as balls, too.
Mm-hmm. Not surprised. Mm-hmm. That's funny. I don't get pumped up for, people we talk to very often like that. That was a lot of fun. And it was nice to say that to my daughters. I appreciate that.
So even off the American Idol, he still uses the fake accent.
Ah, that was fun.
Yes, he does. Let's see. Oh, I know. Hold on a second.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to go commercial free.
Wow.
As we just go right to buzz with the news.
Whoa.
Go, boy.
Whoa. Buzz, that is a tough act to follow.
It is. I know your lead story tonight is the fact that Matt the Pollock is in fact a...
Blue Boy, Don. That's his new nickname, Blue Boy.
Could be tomorrow. Matt Blue Boy is a pole smoker.
We still have some tests to run.
That is our lead story today. Well, I got you just bet out your water, didn't I?
No, it went up the nasal cavity.
Dear.
That was nasty.
Gay.
I've always been fond of that term.
You can't say that.
Pole smoker, what are you doing?
What are you doing? We'll hear the rest of the Gay Pride parade tapes tomorrow.
Good.
And tomorrow, another big booking on the show. Right before his final episode of The Price is Right, we'll have Bob Barker on.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's nice.
That's 2 in a row. That's terrific.
I'll give all you guys a chance to climb inside his bunk tomorrow.
I certainly will. That is a man I truly admire.
Yeah. And now, here's Buzz with news of the day.
Hi, Don and Mike. Here's how angry Sopranos fans were after last night's show.
Hey, Buzz, hold on. Time out.
Yes?
I don't know if... Gosh, I hope stations didn't go to break. I see every line ringing.
Really?
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. Excellent interview. Excellent. Excellent.
Oh, it's simply our loving fans calling in, Mike.
Right. Showering us with the Quan. I appreciate that.
Rightly so. You're right. We are great. So is he. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you guys are going to stand outside with a 10-foot metal rod in a lightning storm and make up for Johnny Norman's mistake, a week ago or two? I mean,
but we don't have to do that.
No, we don't.
We tell people to do that. You don't have to do that no matter what happens.
Well, why aren't you going to make it up to Johnny?
Do you know how we made it up to him? He got to keep his job last week.
There you go.
Isn't this just where every call is supposed to be telling
you? You have some balls and get out there with a 10 metal.
Well, you know what? You're getting in the way of all the calls that are calling us to tell us what a great interview we did with Simon Cowell.
Well, that's why they put me up first, because,
Yeah, see, John Norman did that.
Oh, get out of here.
I know you didn't, Johnny.
These are on screen, Mike. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
beautiful, excellent, excellent interview. I love
thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's the feedback we want. Thank you. Patronize us. Thank you.
That's what those calls are about. Yes,
and then make sure you hang up on them quickly.
And is it patronize if someone is sucking up to
patronize if somebody's sucking up.
Patronize your business.
If you patronize the Costco and you patronize somebody, right?
I think either one is acceptable according
to
the dictionary.
Just you might be right about
two
that.
Two acceptable different pronunciations.
Patronize and patronize.
Word. Either one, whatever
don't
you like.
I've always heard, don't you patronize me.
And I've heard, I patronize the store.
Yeah, right. Thank you for your patronage.
Right.
I think it's more common to use patronize if you're talking down to somebody.
That's how it's settled
and
out.
And patronize if you're going to frequent their establishment.
Agreed. I'll research it, but I think we've nailed it now.
All right, hold on. Rob has got out either Mein Kampf or...
well...
Oh, no, the dictionary.
Mein Kampf is all beat up.
When I see you with a dog-eared book like that...
This is mostly in English. This must be the dictionary. Patronize is the preferred pronunciation for both times, but it also accepts patronize. But patronize is preferred.
I normally don't like to get a plug-in, Don, but I would be happy to say that if you patronize my joint and I meet you, I will patronize you. Thank
thanks.
You.
Look around, Cafe.
Thank you very much.
Fair enough. Well said.
I try to do that with everyone.
Does that mean that you will adopt an air of condescension towards your customers?
But, full smoke. Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi. Here's how angry Sopranos fans were after last night's ending that left a lot of people wondering if there was something wrong with their...
Oh, I'm going to have more shrimp for the day.
Left a lot of people wondering if there was something.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was I thinking?
God damn it.
What a head on a shelf for the tape.
You gotta make it like the show, Buzz.
Right.
Like the TV show. Now they're looking up at Sing Meadow. Just got him in the restaurant.
Directed by Bush Baby. That's just a screw with the station down in Miami.
Yeah, they like that. I hope they didn't play another sweeper there.
Yes, but everyone's mad about that.
That's right. And people did wonder if there's something wrong with the televisions, as we talked before. But here's how angry Sopranos fans were.
You know, I don't know if we're going to get to it, but I'll say Rob had a good
time. I couldn't write it fast enough.
Directed by Peter Norton. There you go.
You started it for another week.
Thank you.
The string continues. Oh, man. I understand that's Matt the intern's favorite artist.
That's right. Dip the onion rings in that.
Oh, God.
Many viewers were so angry they collectively shut down, crashed HBO's website.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
After the show. And today there's an internet movement calling for mass cancellations of HBO subscriptions.
Many, oh, give me a break.
Many people paid for HBO just for The Sopranos.
What the hell, you losers.
Yeah, really.
Jesus Christ, you don't deserve to have TVs.
There's also talk the ending we didn't get might become available on the upcoming DVD, or that the final episode was just the prologue for a Sopranos movie.
I think that's the more likely scenario.
I think you lied earlier in today's show.
When?
You said that if someone were to buy you the 6th season box set, you would regift it?
Yes.
But I do believe you are a completist. You have the first 5 seasons.
I do.
And you would keep the 6th. I challenge you on that.
If they advertised it with a different ending, I don't think you could keep away either.
It's not a complete set if you don't have the 6th season.
I can't tell you how disappointed I was. And, and like, what, you know, when we were talking about box sets that you never watch,
yeah,
and even I never though watched. I would like seeing all 6 boxes line up real neat on my video.
Sure do look pretty.
I mean, am I ever going to say... I gotta get out the disc. Where's the one where AJ started going to see the psychiatrist?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not complete without it.
And you're a hoarder too, aren't you?
Oh yeah, I'll buy it.
Yeah, you're more of a hoarder than he is.
I already have them all the whole season in my TiVo.
Okay, good for you. I'm glad.
But right. I'll buy it too. I'm a victim.
Okay.
Why they victimize me like that?
All right.
And I patronize.
Okay. Victimize. Right. Victimize you. What are you thinking about, Matt?
I am. You seen him today? Looks good.
Did you have any of the green bottles last night?
Every night?
Every night he drinks every night.
No more than six.
He's had a, you've had a couple of those like off air today too, when you're just talking to us and you'll do kind of the
when you're perfect as often as I, it really does glare, doesn't it?
You usually are perfect, bro.
In every way. Just like Mary Poppins.
That is Buzz buzzing in right now. He would like some more time.
Oh, Buzz. Well, whether you liked it or hated it, that final episode, a lot of people are talking about it today, so that may be a mission accomplished.
Oh, that's great.
Your hamburger is trying
to... Buzz?
Yes.
A lot of people talked about 9/11, too.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Both statements are true.
That's a hell of a point.
Well played.
Your hamburger is trying to kill you. A meat packer in Southern California has expanded its recall of ground beef that may be contaminated with potentially deadly E. coli bacteria.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
14 people in six western states have gotten sick, and United Food Groups recalled well over 5.5 million pounds of ground beef. But they're still concerned that some of it is still in people's freezers, especially if you bought it between April 6th and April 20th in Arizona, California, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, Oregon, Utah, Washington State, Wyoming, or Colorado.
I didn't, so I'm okay.
And on Friday, Tyson Fresh Meats recalled over 40,000 pounds of ground beef that had been shipped to Walmart stores in 12 states, including Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Colorado, Kentucky, Mississippi, Louisiana, Tennessee, Texas, and New Mexico.
Wait, are you trying to do a tongue twister today?
Pretty much the whole country.
I'm going to call all my meat.
Mike Tyson chicken.
Mike Tyson beef and chicken. I don't want to go back to jail if I sell bad meat to people, you know. And,
what happened in jail?
Things you see, you know, these guys' genitals and guys wrecked them.
Roller coaster, say what? It's that time of year again. Time for the
kids love the roller coasters.
They do. This one is bad.
And it's time for the roller coaster get stuck terrifying people story.
Pixie.
People who got on the ride because they wanted to be terrified. Saturday night, a dozen people hung upside down like bats, 150 feet in the air.
I like bats.
150 feet in the air. For a half an hour, and had to be rescued by a fire department ladder truck.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
Had nothing to do with it.
He was a little boy on that ride, Mike.
Only one of them went to the hospital for a sore neck and a throbbing headache. The rest were okay, pending notification from their lawyers.
Now, I heard about this, Buzz, but I heard that they were getting everybody down on the ground,
right.
And the one person like saw the attention and cameras and people around and went, Oh, my neck. My neck really hurts. It was like one of those obvious deals.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard.
And then once you speak up, you have to follow through and ride in the ambulance to the hospital.
Go for it.
It happened on the X Coaster at the Magic Springs and Crystal Falls Amusement Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. The power company's not sure what caused the blackout. Quoting a spokesman, the cause could be as simple as an animal on the line.
There he is.
Well, President Bush has gotten a hero's welcome in Albania.
Duh!
Yeah, you know what? That's like...
He found a country. That's what that's like. He found a country.
Is that whole... Give me a second,
sure,
Buzz.
Sure.
I'm having a brain fart. When
it's
I
like
heard,
Kazakhstan.
When I heard that over the weekend, right, is that the country that they make up to have a war with in Wag the Dog?
I believe it is, yes.
It might be. Because they pick a country that is so unknown...
Obscure,
and
remote.
...and so tiny
right.
that no one knows anything about it. And that's why, hey, Alanis Morissette, I found that ironic that in the movie... about the president manipulating things to go his way,
right?
We start a fake war with this country that now, as it turns out, is the only country in the world that will give George Bush a standing ovation.
Yeah, and he's very popular, and they were treating him like a god over there.
Here's why. Albanians are pleased with Bush's tough talk with the Russians about independence for Kosovo. Albania's prime minister said Bush was the, quote, greatest and most distinguished guest we've ever had in all times.
How about that?
The Albanian government's put Bush's picture on postage stamps. It helped that Mr. Bush told the Albanians what they wanted to hear and that he's the first U.S. president to ever visit that country.
Do it. This is Albania. I want to send this one out. Albania show. This is your game from that pole.
Albania. Oh, that's better than Al-Qaeda.
Now, of course, things didn't go quite so well for the president at the Vatican, where he called the Pope sir instead of your holiness, greeted the pontiff with,
howdy, sir.
greeted the potter with, how you doing?
Look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
God. And crossed his legs Texas style during his meeting with Pope Benedict XVI.
Do you think he believes in God, Buzz?
I do.
Have you changed your controversial position yet?
Actually, no.
Still hanging, holding the atheist flag up?
You know, I'm not convinced I'm right any more than I'm convinced anybody else is, but no, I believe what I believe.
Well, then on this Monday of a brand new week, we'll ask you, Buzz,
yes,
as we look for guidance from your moral compass, do you believe in God today?
No.
We'll check back next week.
It won't change.
Maybe it will.
Onlookers were heard gasping.
When they heard that, or when they saw the Pope?
When they heard and witnessed what President Bush did in front of the Pope.
I can't believe the mallet head called me sir. And then said, how you doing, like I'm some common farmhand.
Who are you?
I'm Pope John Ratzenberger. Yes, you can call me Benedict. Benedict III?
How come you don't have one of those Pope mobiles with a Papa top on?
No, didn't think there was any need for it until Cowboy Joe decided to come by and cross his legs the wrong way. What a hump.
Well, as it turns out, you can buy happiness, and that's our story when we continue.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
And I don't believe in God either. I believe in Simon Cowell.
Good for you.
Well, you're both going to be struck dead. There you go.
Well, here's the thing, Pope. You know I'm kidding.
I know you are, and I voted for Melinda Doolittle.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Come and lick the dot of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
So goddamn crazy here today. What did we we discussed the Sopranos ad nauseum. Yes, we did. Kelly Pickler is smart. I've got some tape of her talking about Paris Hilton.
Oh, really?
That guy that wanted to kidnap Letterman's son.
Yeah.
Broke out of prison over the weekend.
Wow.
Snipes. Wesley Snipes. Snipes.
Snipes.
As it says on his voicemail.
Right.
Remember the thing about the IRS and him?
Yeah, vaguely.
Isn't he in jail, or was he going
no.
to jail?
No. And he now says they're after him just because he's black.
Okay.
That must be it.
And you've not mentioned Paris Hilton, Buzz.
No, not today.
Who?
Speaking of God, and I mean I mean that.
Yeah,
sincerely.
She found it. That's yeah. pretty weird.
Let me see. I got a new address. We'll put this on the website. Her brand new jail address.
Oh, good.
Paris Hilton, number, convict number 981-8783, Terminal Annex, L.A., California. And the New York Post claims that a woman was brought in with friends and somehow got shots of Paris Hilton in the bathroom.
Oh no!
She snuck a cell phone in to the jail
and actually got pictures of her.
One picture in her prison blues, and another one of her in the bathroom in her underpants.
I heard the tabloid pictures like that would be purchased by a tabloid for maybe $500,000.
So wow. It's either a hoax or, like Buzz said, it's either something that's going to come out
right
now
right.
or it's a total fabrication.
You know, the picture that I was thinking of that everybody has seen, and Buzz, it's the one where you, I think, as soon as it posted, put it up on the computer screen, was that picture of her in the back of the cruiser
crying.
Sobbing.
Right.
And now, was that TMZ? Somebody that worked for TMZ? Nobody gets paid for that.
They were the first to have the picture. Nobody will get a payday for that.
Oh, wow. That was an incredible picture. That made the rounds.
And the other thing on TMZ today is that she's on suicide watch.
Really?
Right, yeah.
So. I didn't know that. I heard the God thing, but I didn't know that she's on suicide
watch.
Yeah,
keeping that on the down low.
Yeah, so it's going back and forth between she's handling it and she's not handling it.
Yeah, she told Barbara Walters today that not only had she found God, but she's looking for toy companies to back her plans for Paris Hilton's Playhouse for sick children.
She is a dummy. She is a dummy.
Shut up and just suck it, Paris.
She operates. Did you hear that audio of the paparazzi when they were trying to get her from her house to the police station?
Oh, it was amazing. Amazing. And then they ran. Then they ran down the hill.
Yeah.
Well, it was like an OJ thing all over again. Yeah. It was a slow speed chase with the black and white taking her all the way to jail.
I can't believe for children. Because she wants to do good.
And did you hear the other statement, too? I wish that the media would stop putting so much attention on me.
Yes.
And instead focus on our men and women who are putting their lives on the line in Iraq.
God bless her. Like she's thinking of the right things to say. She's just saying them a little stupidly.
Everybody can suck it.
Thank you,
Paris. You should do. Just suck it, Paris.
Speaking of soldiers, I had to tell you this. We had a story not long ago. We didn't know whether to believe. It said the Pentagon had considered a special bomb designed to temporarily make enemy soldiers horny and gay. The ensuing orgy would distract the enemy long enough to be defeated.
This is long and hard and tough, and God bless you.
John McCain's for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the U.S. Air Force has confirmed that 13 years ago, it did consider such a plan. A plan, they say, that was based on a very strong theory. The bomb would have released a chemical. They won't say what the chemical is. A good guess would be a form of human pheromones. The Pentagon confirms the weapon was dreamed up at the Wright Air Force Laboratory in Dayton, Ohio. But with a price tag of over $7.5 million, the Pentagon decided to take a pass. I don't think it was that chemical.
Drop this.
Larry Flint says he's gotten over 200 tips so far after again offering $1 million for proof of illicit sex with a big name in Washington.
Drop it in my mailbox.
The head of the Hustler Empire was at a heart health fundraiser with Larry King over the weekend.
I'm going to do a gay profile on that.
Why do you favor rape?
Hey, that's out of line, Larry.
Wearing a monogrammed silk shirt and gold rings on several fingers, Flint said the number of names is, quote, enough to make your mama scared.
Mama's going to be scared now.
The girls go tingle.
Not anymore. My man. Yeah, all over forever. The place.
It's a pen light city. you go to the pink tunnel.
I'm a little disheveled.
Why?
I just got hit by an 18-wheeler and went for a ride in a wheelchair.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Flint
got dragged in his wheelchair.
Yeah, thank you, Larry.
No.
Flint says he expects to get at least one good scandal out of these 200 tips, and he says he doesn't care which party he pisses off. There's more than one recent study that claimed the death penalty does deter crime. The studies estimate that for each convict we snuff, 3 to 18 innocent lives are saved. One study says an average of 5 innocent lives are saved for each convicted killer who's
executed.
I
don't like the study.
No one does. It's not fun.
A new study.
No question about it, says an economics professor at the University of Colorado. There
Beaver?
Is...
I think you better come into my study.
Beaver. There is a deterrent effect, he says. And this comes at a time when the anti... Yes?
I'm going to send you to study hall.
Okay, then.
And Ward, did Ward have a study?
Yeah.
Did Ward had a study.
He had a den that was called a study.
Man, that's back in that time, man.
Yeah.
You know, dads had studies.
Yeah.
Place to
which
go.
Which is really dad's
good old
place.
Days. Yeah. Good old days. Mm-hmm.
All I know...
You had paneled, you had your big right. desk, you had your big enough book. And now you just don't have that anymore.
That she kept with her always.
He gave her a new one every day.
Right.
That's how much he loved her.
Sure. Loved her as much as Peter North.
Winner!
These... death penalty studies come at a time when the anti-death penalty movement was gaining steam. New Jersey's even abolished capital punishment. But even those whose instinct is to oppose the death penalty admit it's hard to argue with the parent of a murdered child about that.
You know, I'm in some circles considered to be a Democrat, you know, with my
right.
politics a little
really?
Left-leaning.
A little liberal.
I've never heard that.
You've
before.
Never heard that?
Never
it's
heard
a,
that before.
It's a rumor that floats about every now and then, but... I'm kind of fond of that death penalty.
Don't
I really
are.
Am. You know, it seems to me that if you take a guy and you put him in a chair and hit him with the juice, then, you know, the next guy's not going to be so inclined to do something bad.
All I know is this, is with the ongoing threat of the death penalty, my kids are very well behaved. And I remind them.
That hanging over them constantly.
The death penalty.
Keep it in line, youngsters.
Oh, and a follow-up to our conversation.
Thank you, Shaggy.
He was playing his second note. That's his second note that he
plays. Don't you love it
best.
When he just stands at the microphone and waits like he's doing stand-up or something and says, hey, I want to say it. But my kids...
only thing missing is the spotlight.
Mike might love it, but not as much as you.
Hey, a great follow-up to our conversation with a former prisoner on Friday about babes behind bars.
Oh, that lady was fantastic.
Oh, gals, here are some beauty tips from the inmates of the Charlotte County Jail in Southwest Florida where they're not allowed to wear makeup.
Stinky McStink face!
Tip number one, use hair gel or Vaseline as lip gloss. Use instant coffee powder for eyeshadow. If you're clever, you can also make your eyeliner that way.
You cannot eat pizza.
Use Skittles to color your eyelids, and definitely use Skittles to rosy up those cheeks. Yeah. Crystal Light also makes a great blush.
You smell like Skittles. Now, bend over! Yeehaw! My name's Marge. Rub these Skittles on your face, Paris.
You can do a lot of things with these Skittles.
Hey, take the Starburst.
Makes things pinker.
As an inmate, if you get a birthday card with glitter on it, use the glitter on your face, arms, legs, and cleavage. After all, you want to look your best for the newbies. Those are makeup tips from the gals at the Charlotte County Jail in Southwest Florida.
Wow.
And who knew? It turns out you can put a price on happiness. Researchers worked very hard on this. The University of London surveyed 10,000 people, asked them to rate their level of happiness, while also answering questions about money, health, and relationships. They put all this into a computer to estimate the actual price of happiness. They calculated how much more money the average person would have to earn every year to move from one spot on the happiness scale to another. Good health, they found, provides about the same boost in happiness as a $600,000 a year raise. Marriage only increases happiness by about $100,000 a year.
Well, who gets a $600,000 a year raise, for God's sake?
Well, nobody.
That's just some creepy CEO of a company.
That's, that's just the point, that the health is worth that much. Living together...
health is overrated.
Now, whereas...
Give me a room full of stuff any day.
Stuff.
Stuff?
Swag.
You see, I learned that on The Sopranos.
Possessions.
They really care about their material objects more than their family connection.
Right.
AJ, thank you, David Chase.
AJ with the Beamer. Carm with the house.
Right. I sure am glad that David Chase is here to educate me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, you Stain.
David Stain.
Well, now, while marriage only increases happiness by about 100 grand a year, living together is worth 160 grand a year. Chatting with friends and neighbors on a regular basis, they say, is worth 40 grand a year.
Rob would like to have his health back.
Give him a choice. I'd like to have the health back.
It's worth a lot, isn't
Take it?
Take it
back.
She'd like her health back, too.
Oh,
not getting that.
Bob Barker retires this week in the California Assembly.
It's Don and Mike show. And they'll say what they wish.
Hi, Bob. Oh, he'll be on the show tomorrow, everybody.
He's retiring, and the California Assembly's just passed a bill that requires all dog and cat owners, requires them to spay or neuter their pets.
Good for Bob.
Coincidence? I don't think so. The bill says sterilize your pet or pay a $500 fine. The bill still has to get past the Senate and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. He owns two dogs. His people won't say if his dogs are fixed.
So, boy,
over again.
Spay and neuter him.
No there choice. You go.
After the law.
I heard a little bit, Rover.
Look at that. Look at that. That's the hand of a surgeon right there.
All right. Good boy.
Taking a little.
Good boy.
You got through it. Oh, don't be upset. Now it's time for the other one. No problem.
Hey, Rob, when is Barker's final show being presented?
It was already taped. It airs at 11 o'clock on Friday and again on primetime, 8 o'clock.
Oh, really? They're going to run it in primetime? Good for him.
And they still don't have a second host, right?
No, they've not announced it.
Hey, when you mentioned, I guess Mark Price came up, right? Dave Price. Mark Price.
Mark Price.
I always make that mistake.
Skippy from Family Times.
Dave Price is, I believe, really in the running for this now.
Good.
That would be the best choice.
Yeah. Biederman was, John O'Hurley.
He's also in the running. I read the same article. He's in it, too.
We're rooting for Dave Price.
The good news is that Barker reruns will go throughout the summer.
Okay.
So we'll have him.
The head of the American Dog Owners Association, not happy about this proposal in California. She calls it a horrific bill. She says it could wipe out California's dog population. But the state's already putting down a 500,000 unwanted animals every year.
Spay, neuter, spay.
The first sound effect you played was neutering. Now you're spaying.
All right, you.
Here we go, off it comes.
There you go, now's the electronic method.
How do you get these nuts to come on?
There we go, yeah, all right, Fido. Yeah. How'd that feel?
All gone.
California puts down a half dozen pets every year at a cost of $300 million. A woman in Watertown, New York, is suing a store she says used her as bait to catch an upskirt video guy.
Hey.
Svetlana Van Buren is suing TJ Maxx. That's a great name.
Mm-hmm.
Svetlana Van Buren. She says store employees spent their time videotaping the perv instead of warning her about him and did nothing to prevent it.
Welcome to Iceland.
Hey, Svetlana.
TJ Maxx had no immediate comment. Police say the guy had taken more than 700 upskirt pictures.
My name is TJ Maxx. How you do? Stand by for Albania.
Woo!
And And finally, you've heard the post-coital expression, the earth moved? Well, it did for me, too. All of us, really. In fact, based on the average time of our lovemaking, the earth moves 89 million miles. Given all the factors, and there are many, that's how far the earth travels in that glorious 7 minutes and 54 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Show off.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No. He loves throwing that in, doesn't he?
Yeah, he enjoys that.
Got the wrong song.
Sorry, we're out of time.
There we go.
Ah, there it is.
Now that buzz, he can go all day and all night.
99 million miles if you're Peter North.
You ever hear him screaming, oh, my God. Hey, we got to go, everybody. I almost forgot to tell you one thing happened on the show today. Right when we got here, Joe said to me, jokes are funny.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, he loves throwing that in.
He enjoys that.